Andy in Kansas, you're on the air. Thanks for holding.
I'm a first-time caller. I'm a huge fan. I love your work.
I love you.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Knowledge Fight. I'm Dan.
I'm Jordan.
We're a couple dudes like to sit around, drink novelty beverages, and talk a little bit about Alex Jones.
Indeed we are. Dan?
What?
Dan, what's the dumbest thing you've ever done?
I don't know. Probably that episode on Monday. I don't know. Fucking no. I don't know. Dumbest thing I've ever done?
Yeah.
I've done a lot of dumb stuff.
Yeah.
Jumped off roofs before.
Right, I got you there.
Yeah.
We're 1-1 so far. Are we playing
sure.
Never Have I Ever right now? I think that's what we're doing.
Hey, the rest of this episode, to lighten things up, a 3-hour version of Never Have I Ever. No, I've done a lot of really stupid stuff, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, why?
Well, because I have spent all day furious.
About something stupid you
day
did?
About, just about all the dumb people.
Oh.
Just all the dumb fucking people. After Trump put out the fucking nobody gets a pay raise bullshit and you're like, what the fuck are you idiots doing? Half of this even counts for like the ICE people who are loving all of this shit. They don't realize that everything is fucked over them.
Uh-huh.
It's stupid. They're so fucking stupid, Dan. And I'm sick of reading takes. I gotta get off the internet forever. I can't read any more takes. Everybody's got a hot take, Dan.
Yeah. They're not as hot as people think they are.
No.
They're generally Luke.
They're generally terrible.
Yeah, but I mean, what is this show but our take on Alex Jones?
Exactly.
So, you know, let's cool out with that criticism.
Kettle, pot, etc.
More
but,
or less.
You know, what are you gonna do?
This is an episode of a show where I know a lot about Alex Jones.
And I only know what you tell me about Alex Jones.
And
Dan?
Therein lies the fun.
You are, effervescent.
Yeah, you know what? I mean, I've been in a bad headspace since, our last episode.
Yeah.
I think I've come out of it mostly, but it would be an understatement to say that it didn't have a very serious effect on me.
Yeah.
And even in preparing today's episode, I'm finding it incredibly difficult to listen to Alex Jones anymore. It's too hard to recognize little pieces that are very familiar to Anders Breivik's worldview.
Yeah.
And having glimpsed at that, it is much less fun to listen to Alex Jones, because the stakes feel, a lot different.
Yeah.
And granted, they aren't different. They're, you know, it's the same stuff that we were covering before, but there's just a reality that's hard to cope with, mixed in there.
One thing I will say that was fun, and I hope you can agree with me, is, on Tuesday we went and hung out with Far Out 99, and that was fucking great.
Yeah, absolutely. It was
a great
time.
They were great. Yeah.
Super fun time out at the show. Good to see old buds, Matt Riggs,
for
and,
sure.
Nate Burrows, and Joe Fernandez, and Dale McPeak.
Not a huge
Some
fan.
Fine comedians. You don't like any of those dudes.
Nope. I'm against them.
You're real.
I'm out on comedy.
Yeah.
There we go.
That's my position. Don't steal mine. I'm not going to start screaming about things. It was a great time. And actually, I'd like to take a moment to, celebrate Far Out. Because we're a little over 200 episodes into the podcast.
No shit.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of people like keep track.
Yeah, we forgot. Numbering episodes is not really our strong suit or anything like that, but I recognize that, and, you know, he made our logo that we've had as our logo on iTunes and everywhere, and it was great. We love it. But it's a little bit possibly a time for a change now that we're about a little over 200 episodes in. And so we got a new logo, and I want to say a very special thank you to Catherine for designing that. We really appreciate it. It should be in your iTunes if you want to enjoy it.
Oh, it's already up. It's already live.
It should be when this episode comes out. So
wonderful.
Thank you to both of them. Thank you to Far Out for that awesome logo that that has gotten us this far, and thank you to Catherine for the one we're going to be riding into the future.
Absolutely. Thank you to both.
Times of change, times of winds blowing, and I don't
know. Whoa, where was that going?
I don't know. I was going to try and maybe quote something. I dug into my bag of quotes and found zero in there. I don't know.
I like that.
Maybe a song lyric could have been in there.
I was trying to improvise a quote, but it turns out you can't do that. You just gotta know them.
You're lucky I didn't just stare at you and say Walt Whitman. Something like that. Cause I was close.
William Shakespeare.
Yeah, Shakespeare.
Yeah.
So that's awesome. And I'd like to thank them. But at the same time, I'd also like to thank a couple of new donors to the show.
Oh shit!
This is very exciting. I'd like to say a special thank you is special. But I'd like to welcome aboard as a policy wonk, Dakota. Thank you so much.
I'm a policy wonk.
In a very weird turn of events, I think we have multiple people named Dakota donating to the show, which I think is great. What?
I don't know. I mean, the only Dakota I know
Fanning?
Is Fanning.
Sure.
South.
North.
North.
Sure. None of them are donating. But thank you so much, Dakota. We really appreciate it. Also, I'd like to give a shout out to someone who came in at a little bit of a higher level, and we really appreciate oh so very much. I believe that this is a pseudonym, but thank you so much for becoming a technocrat, Alphabet Flight.
I'm a policy wonk.
4 stars. Go home to your mother and tell her you're brilliant.
Someone sodomite sent me a bucket of poop.
Daddy Shark. Bom, 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 bom. Jar Jar Binks has a Caribbean black accent.
He's a loser little titty baby.
I don't want to hate black people. I renounce Jesus Christ.
Thank you so much, Alphabet.
Thank you so much. I assume that's, Chris Martin and Gwyneth Paltrow's kid?
Oh, it could be.
Yeah, that's probably one of them.
It would have to be if Chris Martin, got together with Jason Lee's wife, or Jason Lee got together with Gwyneth Paltrow.
I assume that is something that happens on the weekends.
Or it could be, Tim Cook gets together with Jason Lee's and his wife. They have a love baby, the three of them, because Alphabet is Google.
And oh, okay.
Jason
now
Lee's
I get
kid's
it.
Name is Pilot Inspector.
Okay, there we go.
So we're close.
We're figuring out.
It's not the best, but Alphabet Flight is the best. Thank you so
much. What we were doing was creating an alphabet soup.
Exactly.
Yes.
So, Jordan, today what we're going to be doing, doing that episode that we put out at the beginning of the week was incredibly emotionally taxing, and I did not... feel up to doing an episode on Wednesday, so sorry we missed that, folks.
Neither of us did. Don't take full credit for it.
But I want to explain for the listeners that's that happens.
Yeah,
rarely, but it happens.
Yeah.
And so today, getting it back in, I was kind of like, hey, let's do something light. Let's go for Project Camelot. And I looked at the episodes. I'm like, there's nothing here. There's nothing I want to dive into.
Yeah.
And it was like, hey, let's go.
It was weird that she had Anders Breivik on as a guest
God.
Now. That would have been.
Yeah, you know what? He was off planet when that attack happened. It wasn't him.
It wasn't him.
No.
It was set up by Minerva.
And the Raptors.
Yeah.
That is probably going to be something she weaves into within the next 6 to 9 months. Fingers crossed.
Yeah, let's hope.
But I also was checking out Jim Baker, and I just didn't do it for me. And so I was like, well, there's a lot going on in Alex Jones's current world, so let's just do it. Let's do a current one. And so I went
again. Effervescent you are.
I went in, and I checked out August 30th.
Yeah.
Owen Schroyer is hosting. As it turns out, Alex Jones was in court, on Thursday.
Which kind?
He was in court for the Sandy Hook lawsuit.
Oh, okay.
His lawyers had a motion to dismiss, which was denied.
Of course.
And so the trial will be moving forward. His argument that it was just his free speech was thrown out.
Yeah.
So that argument didn't fly.
Did the judge laugh in his face? Did like he get up off the bench and then
possibly.
Just like stare directly in his eye and fake laugh at him?
That would be fitting.
Yeah.
I'm not sure. So Owen Schroyer was hosting today as we're recording this. I'm like, hey, I can't cover that. Let's check out the 29th. There's some stuff in here. I don't know what to tell you.
We will return to regularly scheduled fun next week after we've fully recovered from Monday.
Well, you know, what I wanted to do more than anything is do the 2009 stuff, but spoiler alert, there is a lot I need to get straightened out. He gets pretty deep into some Oklahoma City stuff.
Oh, boy.
That I need to finish my research
on. Yeah, I really don't want to do the turnaround of white terrorist to white terrorist.
No. Nope.
Let's move that on.
That might be our Monday theme now. Monday episode theme.
Monday's white terrorists.
So we,
Wednesday's so we, Project Camelot.
So we officially ruin everybody's start to the week.
Yeah.
Look, dude, there's some stuff going on in this episode. It's pretty interesting on a number of levels and upsetting on a number of others, but that's what the Alex Jones show is. Now, let us start with an out-of-context drop from today's episode.
What does Speedy Gonzalez say? What does Speedy Gonzalez say? Can't remember now. It's just, underlay, 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 arriba, 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 arriba. Underlay, 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 arriba, 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 arriba. Kind of fun to do that.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
That's coke. That's coke. That's a man on coke right there.
So mark that off as the first impression of the show. We'll all be right. Getting a very much worse one a little bit later.
That one counts?
Yeah, I think so.
Mm.
He's trying. So
I love the confidence of a man who's like, what does Speedy Gonzalez say? No, what does Speedy Gonzalez say?
Arriba.
What do I say?
What are we?
Who am I?
Yep.
Four ways to learn.
You're getting ahead of yourself. There might be some esoteria in this episode, which
I'm
super
all
exciting.
For it. All for it.
But Alex is starting today's episode off in the exact same way he starts every episode nowadays off, which is getting real grandiose about the midterms.
69 days, ladies and gentlemen. 69
nice.
Days.
Nice.
Until the most important election in world history. The planet is at a crossroads. It is
2000.
Undoubted. The globalists are trying to shut this nation down. We are struggling as hard as we can to expose their operations. It is a neck and neck battle, ladies and gentlemen. Neck and neck.
So we have the theme that's developed where this is the most important election of all time for
right.
all planets
right.
And yep. everything. And then, of course, the same thing that he has to do all
the
time.
The Pleiadians would disagree, but you
sure.
know what? We're not all there.
We don't know their electoral history.
Yeah, that's true.
And then the other thing there you heard at the end is that theme that he constantly uses, which is like, it's basically a tie ball game. It's basically a tie ball game.
Oh, yeah.
We're crushing them, but it's also basically a tie ball game.
Bottom of the ninth, 3-3. Of course, even though it is tied, we have been destroying them the entire game. Mm-hmm. Everybody knows that.
Yeah.
Makes perfect sense.
It's really the only sensible way you can get more money out of people when you have this worldview going. So that's all pretty sensible. I think that's exactly where he needs to be from his business model.
Right.
I understand it.
Broke.
And so the one thing that I didn't tell you is that clip right there where he's starting the show happens at the 20-minute point of the episode. He's 20 minutes late for the show. Probably, and maybe he was in court on that day
wait,
too.
Wait.
They just play like reports, special reports.
Oh,
and, like,
okay.
Weird techno music with Alex's drops over it talking about, it's Tricoms!
That actually sounds way more fun than
we should
we're
just
doing.
Listen to that.
Yeah.
Quite frankly.
Why aren't we starting 20 minutes into it?
Yeah. It's a good call. Just techno music with us screaming over it. So, he gets in 20 minutes late, tells you this is the most important election ever. Everything
yep.
is neck to neck. We're, Tie ball game. And then he plays a long clip from Tucker Carlson, where Tucker is talking with a former Clinton strategist who they're talking about the idea of online censorship and stuff like that. And I hate listening to Tucker Carlson. I think he sucks. He's a douche, and I don't care. This is a show about Alex Jones, specifically not one about Tucker Carlson.
Right, but for a good reason.
But he says something in this clip that makes me kind of worry about his grasp on the issues, perhaps.
Okay.
And remember, they're private platforms, they say, so they're not actually subject to the First Amendment unless we get some legislation here that says free speech is an internet right.
It's totally meaningless. If I own a toll road, I can't say anyone of a certain race can't drive on my toll road. And so they're not actually fully private companies. We have a public interest, I would say, in keeping them free and open.
Well, I would say that there already are rules about discluding people based on race or gender or anything like that. That's called the Civil Rights Act, bro.
Do conservatives think they're a race?
I think that they do. Well, yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
So then.
Yeah, they think that they have. Oh, and it's not even conservative because we have to. We can't play the game on their terms. Because that's how they are describing it.
Right. I apologize.
Describing it as conservatives are getting kicked off.
Right. It's Nazis people, are getting kicked off.
Not just even Nazis. It's people who are having the consequences of their actions come home to roost. It's a situation where people who are putting dangerous ideas out into the world, violating the rules of platforms, are just getting kicked off of them. It's not conservatives. Again, it's the problem that I keep bringing up is like, when you have these rules, it's good to have these rules. But you can never enforce them appropriately.
What's the name of the, what's the name of the underground people in the time machine?
The Morlocks?
Yeah. Can we just call them the Morlocks then? Like, if they want to consider themselves a race, let's just make sure that there's a pejorative term.
I think they would
term.
Love that though. I think they would get a real charge out of that.
Yeah, but they don't understand why it's an, okay, never mind. They don't understand anything. That's a good point. Of course they would get a charge out of it.
And Tucker doesn't understand when he's bringing up the idea of like, yeah, you can't have a road and not let black people on it. I'm like, yes, absolutely.
Good
That's
call.
Because of regulation that libertarians are against.
Yeah, but
they're
only,
against the
only
Civil
when
Act.
It applies to other people.
Right.
They hate it whenever you regulate anything that then makes them feel bad, Dan.
Right.
Regulations are important when it's you who feels bad, and they're not important when everybody else feels bad.
But the analogy that he's trying to make, what with the road, comparing it to Facebook, I suppose, or Twitter.
Right.
The analogy he's trying to make is already taken care of.
Right.
Like,
so
Twitter couldn't say no black people. They couldn't say that. That would not fly.
It wouldn't fly.
No. No, no.
How would you even police that?
It would be tough, dummy accounts and whatnot. But no, that would not work.
That wouldn't go well?
No.
You don't think so?
In the same way that if a restaurant says no black people, it's not okay. You know,
Right?
The problem is already solved that he's talking about, or he's trying to make the analogy for.
Right, no, he's
it's
fucking
absurd.
Stupid.
Yeah, absolutely. That's all I wanted to say.
But that's what they have to do that. They have to turn that like, No. How dare you say that just because we lie and threaten people with physical harm, we're not a protected class like black people.
Right.
It's racism to say that you can't harass women.
Right.
That's racist against me.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
A Nazi.
I'm
it's racist locked. Against Nazis.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know, man. It's a tough rhetorical hurdle. I think that when you're in a safe, cloistered bubble like Fox News or Alex Jones's show, it's really easy to make like that sort of wiggle, that argumentative wiggle where you're like, hey, it's like keeping black people off a road. And you're like, no, anybody who was at all critical of him would be like, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
That's ridiculous.
Exactly.
How dare you try and bring that into this conversation? So I don't know. I don't have much more to say about that, and I don't want to talk about Tucker more. So let's get on to this next clip where Alex does what he does best, my friend. Absolutely the best in the business at this.
Selling things?
Nope.
Oh, okay.
He's pretty good at that, too.
Yeah.
But he's the best in the business at demonizing and dehumanizing his opponents and his enemies.
He is pretty great at that.
Which we get to see in full swing here.
There's a way to beat the globalist, but people have to be serious. They have to be adults. They have to know what's going on. And they have to understand the true criminal nature of the Democrats and the foreign corporations and the communist Chinese that empower them. These are the most psychotic, sociopathic, vicious, hateful, dishonorable, dishonest, truly wicked people who hate America and hate your family and just viciously have a total will to dominate and run your life.
Are there no mirrors there?
They are eugenicists. To destroy the family, to make you totally depressed, to take everything away from you, and then put you into a virtual reality where they can steal your soul. They are completely turned over to what can only be called the devil. Whether you believe in that as a spiritual force or an archetype, it's real.
Okay. Yeah. You know.
I can't.
No.
I can't.
Why should you?
Every single fucking thing he just said has a real world corollary to something that the people he thinks are great are doing,
mm-hmm.
and no corollaries to things that the people he says are doing these things are doing. Every single fucking thing.
Yep.
Every word. He just described all of the things that they are, and by his own definition, we should be fucking killing them.
Yeah, but I disagree with that.
I disagree with it as well, but that's just, yeah. That his logical conclusion is everybody should murder him.
Well, if he wants to make that argument, then if that is what qualifies as a murder-worthy offense in his book, then
yeah.
But I mean, more importantly, what I think what we're hearing, and I think this is what you're responding to, is like whether he means to or not, this is a lot of projection. This is a lot of, and he does more of it even throughout the show, but
destroy the family. What they'll do is they'll take your kids away and put you in a cage and then put them in a separate cage. They're trying to destroy you and they're trying to kill your family, you know, like if they were to, I don't know, remove protections for gay couples and make sure that they're not allowed to have children and all that stuff. They're trying to dumb you down, you know, like if they were trying to make it harder to get into colleges and definitely make it more easy to commit sexual assault on college campuses. Oh, they're trying to destroy everything.
And they're trying to keep you poor, like yeah, trying to make it so you can't get out of student loan debts that are abusive. And,
yeah. God damn it, man.
Yep.
You just described Trump's policy directives.
His entire cabinet, everybody is working towards all this same shit. But I think that he wouldn't even wrestle with that. He's more interested in doing this in service of dehumanizing the enemy, you know, making it so it is okay to attack them. This works hand in hand with his narrative about how the media is going to false flag themselves and the Democrats are going to false flag themselves to get pity and sympathy in front of the midterm election so they end up winning because they can blame it on the Patriots.
Right.
It's the same sort of preemptive rhetoric wherein if something bad does happen to these people, then who gives a shit? They're demons who want to destroy your family and then eventually suck out your soul.
Right.
So,
like, if one of them
it's really
were to,
dangerous.
If one of them were to, for some reason, threaten some sort of news organization.
Like that happened today.
Using the language of the Patriots. Or let's call it, maybe the president himself might have
quote the president in threats to news organizations.
That's not the Patriots?
No.
That's the false flaggers. Nobody would listen to the president.
No. Silly.
That would be crazy.
Absurd.
Only the false flaggers.
Right. I mean, this is just super dangerous. And it's something we talk about, like, repeatedly. So I don't think we should spend half an hour on it. But, like, the idea of, like, doing this to your enemies is super, super dangerous.
Yeah, they're doing it and we're not doing it to them. We're not demonizing them. We're all trying to constantly humanize these people who are literally doing everything that he's saying to make you guys demonize us. It's insane.
Well, there is the sort of supposed over liberal use of the term Nazi to describe people, but I think we've been judicious in calling people who are expressing Nazi ideas, calling them Nazis.
They're Nazis.
And I try and hold you back even from too broad of declarations.
Yeah.
But, you know.
And slowly you're coming over to my side.
Mm. We'll see about that.
The problem is the tent under which you could call somebody Nazi is only getting larger.
Yeah. It's expanding.
It seems like all the people who you shouldn't have called Nazis before, like, oh, you know what? Lindsey Graham is a terrible human being who is trying to kill everybody, but he's not a Nazi. Mm-hmm. And now you're like, I think Lindsey Graham's a Nazi.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it comes down to that sort of lobster in boiling water kind of thing. You know, it's kind of the right has seen this turn towards cruelty, abuse, dehumanization of people who are unlike yourself. They haven't noticed the ratcheting up of the temperature of the water, and instead of getting boiled, they're all just becoming okay with very, very close to fascist adjacent circumstances.
What are you gonna do?
Who's gonna do?
What are you gonna do?
So, in this next clip, Alex gets into. Well, I would say it ends with him making a bad prediction, but it starts with. Something that just is it seems very grandiose in a weird way, and I think he's in a very strange mood. He might have done mushrooms the night before this episode. He's real weird on this episode from this point on.
Comets are all rocks that I have thrown.
You're not far off. He does start talking about the comets of truth. Yeah, exactly. It's very strange. Comets of truth are going to hit the world.
I've listened to this show for too long.
Yeah. You have your finger on the pulse.
Yeah.
All right, so here we go.
World government is now here in your face.
Booyah.
With a scientific one-world system using a digital mark of your internet ID that will be biometrically based on face scans and hand scans. Mark of the head, mark of the hand. 2,000 years later, coming true. No one can deny it. Prophecy is being fulfilled.
Cool.
And it also says the church will fall away and will accept the mark of the beast. Most people will accept the mark of the beast because they'll believe, you know, that it isn't actually happening. Because the churches aren't churches. They've been federalized. They've been globalized. They've been put under 501c3, so they won't tell you. In fact, I predict soon the people will be taking communion and giving to the offering plate with a hand scan. Mark my words, within 2 years.
Sure.
You will see people.
Sure.
In fact, I bet it's already going on.
Sure.
I never thought of that. Search engine, church takes digital payments with biometrics.
This.
Also, I like how he said search engine. Yeah. He didn't say Google. Bigot!
This, my friend, is what we call a setup. Because, of course, the production staff Googles that.
Yeah.
And conveniently.
They search engine it.
Conveniently, there's a very similar headline that uses those words that Alex clearly read the headline of and didn't read the story.
Yeah.
Because there's a church, he ends up talking about this article and not getting into any of it. It's on some weird blog. And it's just someone who, I believe the title of the article is Three Ways Churches Can Use Biometrics to Increase Safety. And the entire article, what it's about is the idea of using fingerprints to keep kids safe at churches. Like, in terms of, like, knowing where they're going and coming.
Right.
Making sure it's the right kids there.
Right. Avoiding all members of the clergy.
Sure.
That's a smart way of doing it.
I don't think that's necessary.
I think it's starting to look more and more necessary.
I don't know what fingerprinting is going to do to help that situation.
I don't know.
Look, I would say that that is a concern that, losing kids at the church, maybe, is a concern that I am unaware of because I'm not a part of the church. I don't know if that's a rampant problem.
They are big.
If this is a blog that's putting this out as a suggestion of ways churches can increase security, that's kind of their business, and this has nothing to do with an implantable chip that you have to use to take communion.
Right.
And it's not a slippery slope thing that's going to lead to that. It's a, it's a kid's safety measure. It's absurd.
So his
idea
is that in 2 years churches are going to need a biometric scan.
Yes, sir.
To take communion.
Yep.
To prove what?
Or to tithe.
Now, see, the money thing, I get you do that, but is there a database of people who are in accordance with communion rules, which I believe means you cannot be in a fight with any member of your family. You must also be right with God. There can be no guilt on your conscience.
Well, see, that's what it's going to track.
Is it going to track that?
Yeah. See, you have to.
All right.
You have to scan your finger, and it'll go to the database of familial fights. Which, of course, the man is very interested in cataloging.
And you will have to wear a mood ring as well to let them know if you are right with God. Like, if it's green, you feel guilt.
Because within 1.5 years, the government is going to implement a system where if you fight with your family, you must report it.
Yes. Oh, of course.
Right. So within 1.5 years,
then how
that
will
database
God know?
Will be, wow. God's got that database.
I don't think he does.
He's got a login.
No! He's got a login. What's his password?
God. And then his password is the Tetragrammaton. It's just the unpronounceable name of Yahweh. He has a special keyboard that none of us can use. It's the perfect encryption.
I think the Metatron is the one who does that. Thank you very much.
So Alex is, he's talking about the churches not being real churches and how they're gonna need biometric scans and what have you, and like, all right, dude, have fun with that.
Sure.
But it leads him into talking about the Antichrist.
Good. I'm in.
And so he's getting into this weird state where he's talking about how now they can use holograms and project people into places they aren't.
Right.
Which is like, yeah, it was weird that Tupac did that concert a while back. That was kind of weird. I didn't enjoy that.
No, you know what's crazy? That was the real Tupac.
Oh my God.
But they had to create the hologram.
They had to create
over him. So it looked like he was a hologram,
a
but he was still alive. He's still alive.
Okay.
But they projected the hologram onto his real body.
Seems like a lot of work when you could just use the hologram.
Yeah, but I mean, he wanted it. He's got to get out there and meet his fans.
He's got to enjoy it.
Yeah.
So
he's been trapped underground for the past 20 years.
So beyond that, he's talking about like the idea that in the Bible it says that the Antichrist will be projected into giant holograms.
Sure.
And if you don't.
Fun.
If you don't submit to him, this is what's going to happen.
Oh, no, what?
And this clip gets weird.
And if you don't submit, well, you'll be downgraded. And at first, it'll be easy to get a 5-star. You don't have to do much.
So he's talking about the idea
of... You'll be downgraded?
He's talking about the idea of, like, Chinese social score systems being implemented in the United States.
Oh, right.
That sort of thing. That's one of his major fears here on this episode. And so, yeah, he's talking about, like, having a 5-star rating at the beginning. not going to be too hard. But then...
Isn't he talking about a Black Mirror episode?
Yep.
Yep.
But soon it'll be more and more and more, and then very few will have 5 stars. It'll be totally coveted, the new Hollywood power. Even world leaders won't have 5 stars. Oh, but people that do will be like Dalai Lama-like people. Worshipped.
Cool, cool. Sounds fun.
Oh, you want that 5-star, don't you? Because if you don't have it, you'll be cut off from the entertainment, jobs, everything. This is their system.
I think he's talking about
Instagram.
And
we've been warned thousands of years ago.
In Revelation.
Thousands
of years ago. You read Ezekiel, and you read Daniel, and you read Revelation, all written within 3,000 years of themselves.
Nope.
Ezekiel says these big rings of fire come down and land, and these dudes with blue helmets on, that's how it's described in the Hebrew, come up, and they tell them, they say, take this, and then they take this thing they're told, and then it downloads all the information into them, and they all said the same thing. World government, marks in the hands, marks in the head, don't take it. Once you all get rigged up to this, it's going to start exterminating everybody. Well, let's just say the Bible's not true.
Yeah, done.
I'm not saying that, but just for sake of argument, what is it then? Because it's being built.
Lie.
Now, let me just throw this in here. For now, you can still go to InfoWarsStore.com. No! They're trying to take our payment processors and bankrupt us and shut us down and sue us into oblivion.
Cool, man.
Dudes with blue helmets are going to come and they're going to institute world government. And by the way, for now, you can still go to InfoWars.com. Did you know that?
Also, what you're missing from that is like, I am a major part of the fulfillment of prophecy.
You know, I let that one go.
That's so grandiose.
See, because I assumed that he's always thought that.
Yeah, probably. Oh, also, there's a problem with this stuff about Ezekiel. Alex is not actually talking about the actual text from Ezekiel. He's clearly talking about the 1974 book, The Spaceships of Ezekiel, written by Joseph Blumrich, which was inspired by Blumrich reading Eric von Daniken. This, not the Bible verses, is the foundation of the misinterpretation that Ezekiel saw aliens in wheelcrafts. Alex believes in ancient aliens.
All right. So let's say the Bible's not true.
I'm saying that.
But for the sake of argument, let's say it's not true.
What
if I referenced a movie?
One time I read The Spaceships of Ezekiel and I thought it was accurate. Cool, man. Enjoy. Like, that's Project Camelot level shit.
Oh, yeah.
That's insane. Because if you read the actual verses in Ezekiel and you use just a tiny bit of, like, exegesis of the text, and you take context clues from other parts in the Bible, like, it's clear that it's at least partially metaphorical, and then also, you're talking about angels. You know, it's not some sort of spacecraft. And the blue helmet part that he's talking about is this awesome thing that people have extrapolated from, and they're like, oh, it was UN workers, because they have blue helmets.
Of course, stuff like of course.
That. It's just become this crazy nonsense.
I remember the great Arthur C. Clarke quote, sufficiently advanced blue hat is indistinguishable from angels, right?
That's true.
That's true. What he said.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. So that's just a lot of fun. I love the Ed pivot at the end, the Alex believing he's a part of the centuries old prophecy.
That clip has got it all.
The Ezekiel misinterpretation. It's just gorgeous.
Yeah.
It's like a good spaghetti sauce.
Yeah.
Because it just hits you.
If you're watching Chopped, they would describe that as a perfect bite.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, God. God damn. Love it. So, in this next clip, we're not going to talk about this, and I beg you to not go off on a fucking rant, because I know you have a lot of feelings about it, but Alex is less than gracious about John McCain being dead.
I'm not going to go on a rant. I've already promised.
Okay. Look. John McCain did a lot of horrible shit during his life, and there's no reason to deify him now that he's dead.
But
at the same time, no reason, I think, especially for our show and the people that we are, to put out some sort of negativity in the world and be like, hey, fuck you, you're dead. Alex tries to play the card of, I don't want to talk ill of the dead, and I'd like to remind everyone how the day after David Rockefeller died, he did a celebratory show.
Does not talk ill of the dead.
Oh, David Rockefeller's dead. Keep on rocking in the free world. That's basically what he did after he died.
Yep.
He might have played Ding Dong, the Witch is Dead. Quite frankly, I would not have been, I don't remember that show exactly, but I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah.
So he's like, you know, I don't like to speak ill of the dead, but this guy was a fucking dick. And then he gets to this sentence that I think is very interesting. And longtime listeners of our show will hear a very familiar turn of phrase here.
McCain comes from a crime family. I know his last name isn't, you know, Capone, but it's unbelievable.
I'd like to take everyone back to 2015 when Alex Jones said about Trump, quote, "You got a name like Corleone, they arrest you. If you got a name like Trump, they don't." Quote, "He's a front man for consortiums on the East Coast."
No idea what you're talking
about. He said the exact same things about Trump.
He's a performer.
Not 3 years ago.
You can't take anything he says seriously.
McCain's dead. He's from a crime family. You got a name like Capone. McCain's a better name. Great.
Good work.
What are you doing?
He's recycling.
Yeah, I know.
It's important. He's trying to save the environment.
Sure.
He puts so much CO2 out into the world. At least he's reusing some of his CO2.
It's when you blow that hard, you gotta blow some excess.
No, I've thought about it very hard. I've dealt with all of my complex emotions regarding John McCain, and I've decided that the best way to express them is to pretend he's John Glenn and just confuse everyone.
Okay.
And just say, man, John McCain was amazing. When he went into space for the first time, it changed my life. I realized what was possible because that man did something that no one else has ever done.
It would be even better if you conflate him with John Glenn and John Wayne simultaneously.
Oh, now that'd be good
like
stuff.
Like a three-way conflation.
Yeah.
That'd be strong work.
When he filmed the Searchers on the first spacewalk, that was incredible.
He showed true grit out there in space. So, I don't know how to set up clips anymore. Like, not because of anything that's wrong with me, but just because this show is so stupid. Like, when I was
well, by the transitive property, to some extent, yes, our show.
I think we elevate the source material a tiny bit. But
all
like,
right.
when
all
I was
right.
listening to this show, I can't tell you how many times in my notes it's just, "This show sucks." Like, I'm listening to his show like, I don't know why anybody would fucking listen to this.
It's weird
so
that
bad.
You have started writing your notes in your own shit on the walls. Just repeatedly, "This show is shit."
I gotta save money on notebooks.
Yeah, no, that's smart.
But like, yeah, it's just this. I don't understand what his plan is anymore other than, oh boy, you broke your pen. Better use some shit.
I'll look on the wall and see what I got.
So in this next clip, just a minute ago, we heard him, using a false source to claim things about the book of Ezekiel. This next clip is about how smart Alex is.
People keep asking, "Jones, I have the Pentagon call me up and others. They say, Jones, how are you continually? How do you know all this?" And I'm like, they're writing white papers. Do all of you people just pretend you do research? I talked to generals. I talked to former CIA section chiefs. I'm not bragging. And like,
yes, you are.
I know more than they do.
No, you don't.
Seems
you
like
know why? Because they're taking care of their grandkids or their kids or they're playing golf.
And you're not.
They just kind of, you know, bitch and complain and watch Fox News. Man, I'm not doing that. Okay. Matt Drudge isn't doing that. Matt Drudge has been running his own operations for 20 something years. He's built it himself. He knows how things work. So do I. Matt Drudge has all the sources in the Supreme Court, the White House, foreign governments. Matt Drudge is a world traveler. I'll leave it at that. He knows.
What does that mean?
I don't want to be the only one up here with Matt Drudge that knows all this. It's very frustrating.
Aw. Aw. Poor guy.
Aw.
Tough. That's tough. Tough to be so smart.
So is the Pentagon just calling him?
Yeah, the actual building.
The actual building.
Yeah.
Okay. I was concerned.
The platonic ideal of the shape is calling Alex. And that is actually like the level of heady he's going to get in a little bit.
Okay.
You might not be so surprised if he's like, "I met a dodecahedron the other day and it told me I was brilliant." Like, it's close. It's real close.
"I reached into my pineal gland and I discovered the true shape of love."
I would consider most of this episode like a kind of a wash and just kind of like we're just sort of retreading old material.
Right.
But like,
we're having a good time.
He does get into like our favorite state of Alex Jones in a little bit. Just like, "What are you talking about, man? I think you think you're using code here, but you are just freaking out on air." Just some esoteric nonsense, which I love. And actually, it starts in this next clip.
Okay.
But I should tell you that for the beginning of this episode, like his main, let's call it the varsity narrative, has been that Paul Joseph Watson put out an article with the headline censoring us on the social media is a massive scam for the midterm elections. So he just basically reads the headline over. He reads the headline over and over again, never actually gets into the article, but sort of screams about it a little bit.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's all just such like the exact same nonsense from before. Chi-coms,
right.
Facebook is run by the globalists, that sort of shit.
Right.
Like it's in the white papers and WikiLeaks. Like, all right, man, have fun. You're not evolving. But when he gets back and he starts the second hour, he's been promising to get to this. Big news.
Sure.
For the entire first hour. He gets the beginning of the second hour, and my man, it's time to get serious.
All right, let's get
serious.
Is
it time to break?
No.
Well, then I'm bummed.
I don't really know how to put it or say it. But a lot of people think this is all a virtual reality deal, and now even top bankers and globalists, they say, oh, there's some outside force.
What are the bankers
saying? What do you mean, top bankers?
Woo-hoo! And it's simulation. And that the different telescopes and different systems they've got that measure dark matter, there's NASA papers, you name it.
You name it.
Saying that indeed there's a power source much greater than what we see in our own matter holding this universe together. The whole Big Bang theory and the rest of it is just that, a theory. It's kind of like Total Recall. He goes in to plug in. He's having a boring life.
There it is.
It's a Philip K. Dick. It's based on a Philip K. Dick book, isn't it?
Short story.
Good work.
And then all of a sudden, he's a secret agent, and he's killing all these guys and taking these people out and saving Mars and activating the ancient reactors to
get your ass to Mars.
Terraform it. And is he crazy or is he real?
Terraform it?
You don't know.
I promise you he doesn't get to the point. He gets lost talking about Total Recall. And then he's like, when he comes back from that, after that, he just is like, it's weird that I am influencing the president. I'm like, all right. Are you then saying that it's a simulation that that you're – what is your point? He never brings it home. He never ties the bow of these thoughts that the bankers say that it's a simulation.
Yeah, why would I give a shit if the – wait, so what does that mean?
I don't know.
What does it mean? Like, even the top bankers are saying that. I don't know what that means.
I don't know.
Does that mean that you shouldn't – look, the scientists have said it for a long time. Like, this whole there's a greater energy or whatever that's holding the universe together.
The Higgs boson, maybe?
The scientists have been saying that for 100 years. But now
– bankers.
Bankers are saying it.
Weird.
Which is what?
Yeah, crazy.
They control our money. Or maybe they don't.
Who knows?
Is it the globalists?
Probably.
Are they bankers?
Yeah.
Has any of them ever read a science book?
It's all the same thing.
A brief history of time.
They're all magically competent in every field, according to Alex. And
kind of crazy.
Great. Yeah. Also, I just – look, there's a lot going on there, and he's going to get even weirder. But I love the idea of Alex taking – movies that are based on Philip K. Dick short stories and pretending they're real. Like, I would love it if a week from now he shows up with a little hat and he's like, it's like the Adjustment Bureau. I wear this hat and I could go through secret doors. Like, all right. All right. Cool, all right, man.
Cool.
Yeah, I love it.
Cool.
Yeah, cool.
I mean, I think
I've started taking a moss based drug.
I think you should diversify. Let's just start spamming him with other science fiction writers that he should start referencing. Just like, fuck it.
No, there's so much with Philip K. Dick.
He's never gonna read any real books. But, so let's just start throwing science fiction novels at him.
No, but you gotta understand, like, he's only been in a few movies. One is A Scanner Darkly, which is based on Philip K. Dick's novel. Then you have Waking Life, which was also directed by Richard Linklater.
Right.
And at the end of it, Richard Linklater appears in the movie himself and gives a speech that references the book Flow My Tears, The Policeman Said,
yes,
by Philip K. Dick.
Yeah.
All of Alex's cinematic life is contingent on Richard Linklater existing, who's a huge fan of Philip K. Dick and inspires most of his work. Alex is never leaving the PKD Foundation.
All right.
I don't mind that.
All right.
I don't mind that, but I do want him to reference the Adjustment Bureau.
Pitch. Pitch.
I really want him to adjust.
I want him to reference. Look, Amazon just greenlighted the Foundation series. So ooh, somebody, ooh. And, somebody and, cast him in that. I want to get some Asimov references in here too.
And season three of The Man in the High Castle is coming out.
Oh yeah. Soon. Everybody just cast him for like 20 seconds in every sci-fi
right
movie.
In yeah, Man in the High
I
Castle.
Know.
The world that's run by Nazis.
Yes.
Yeah. Great.
Cast him as himself.
He could exist in that world very easily.
Yeah.
Very excited about that. It's an unpopular opinion, but I really like that show.
I think people like it.
Okay. I'm projecting onto the world that no one likes that show.
I think people just don't watch it.
Yeah, that could be.
I don't think people dislike
that's
it.
Probably.
I think most people are like, you know, it's peak TV, so it's like, I gotta pick and choose, and then what's her face was in that movie, that series that was based on Gillian Flynn's novel. And Gillian Flynn's a great writer if you'd never read any of the words she writes.
Okay.
So that's great.
Yikes.
Yeah.
Yikes. Shots fired.
Hot take.
Shots.
Hot take, Dan.
Shots fired.
I'm tossing out takes.
Very excited.
I'm a big fan of the, this novel is boring, but then there's a twist ending, so you love it.
I mean, I read Goosebumps. So.
Yep. There you go.
So like I said, man, Alex is going to get even weirder. And here is, oh boy, this is high weirdness. But it's not even close to the depths of where he goes on this episode.
Okay.
The planet's real. Our bodies are real, but there is a spirit within us.
What?
And the globalists know that.
So it's not a simulation.
And they know our spirit broadcasts the ideas, the thoughts, and the dreams we have. So they put out evil broadcasts trying to get us to resonate with that to then buy into the nightmare to then manifest hell on earth. Because that's what these demons, these creatures, these marooned spirits want. And that's what the Bible says. And that's what every other culture says. And that's what the globalists believe. None of the globalists, and I've run into a lot of them, Hollywood, you name it, none of them are atheists. They are all either Luciferian or Satanist or into the occult, or they believe in the earth being sheeted by aliens.
Yep.
And those aliens are interdimensionally communicating with them, and they believe they have to reduce world population as a sacrifice to ascend to the heavens.
How could you
AKA
not?
What we've seen going on with 2001 Space Odyssey.
What?
And so, the Mark of the Beast is here. World government's here.
Yep.
And
you proved
it's a simulation, but it's not.
Sure.
But it's been proven. It's all held together.
I don't know what that means.
Artificially by a much more powerful force. And
dark energy.
It's here for us to experience consciousness and free will. Because if you're God, the one thing you don't have is something separate from you that's conscious as its own little universe in its mind. And that's us. That's our spirits, our own little universes.
You got cut off by that break. But also, so at the end there, I mean, there's a lot of hot bullshit throughout most of it. The thing I'm most interested in, first of all, is like, it's a simulation, but it's not. Okay, you're saying nothing.
Sure.
Then what he's talking about at the end there is like, that's vaguely Gnostic. In terms of theme, the idea of God
created us because he doesn't have anybody to chill with.
Yeah, or Aldebaoth. Created this as a projection by which he could experience himself from external places. The thing I'm more into, because I don't think Alex has read any Gnostic scriptures, is I think that Scott Adams of Dilbert fame,
yes,
and also frequent guest on Alex Jones's show, sent him a copy of his 2001 book, God's Debris.
Really?
He put out, though he was known primarily for as the creator of Dilbert, Dogbert, Catbert.
What else you got?
That's it.
It's gotta get more creative
Wally.
Than that. He created Wally?
No, that was a character who worked at Dilbert's
office. Oh, I thought you were talking about the Pixar film. I was like, holy shit, I have to reevaluate him all over.
Nope, just a guy named Wally.
Oh, okay.
I think that was his name. So he wrote a book in 2001 that was a quote thought experiment.
Yeah.
That I thought was interesting at the time because
would you call it a space odyssey?
No. Okay. Although the phrasing, what's going on with 2001 A Space Odyssey is a very strange way to put things. But,
I think that's a Seinfeld joke.
I read that when I was, 16 or so when it came out. I was like 16, 17. I smoked a lot of weed, and I read it, and I thought it was interesting. But the whole idea of it is that the only thing God could be interested in, because he's omnipotent and all that, is experiencing a world without himself in it. And so God destroyed himself, and we are the debris of God's own destruction.
Right.
Experiencing each other, and God is experiencing what it's like when he doesn't exist, and we all interconnect through the internet and what have you, and that's our way of trying to bring back the wholeness of what we are the debris of.
Right.
That's sort of a Cliff Notes right. version of it. But there's a lot of thematic connections to what Alex is rambling about there at the end. I think he just read God's Debris and thinks it's mind-blowing.
Do you know, I had a synesthetic moment listening to that whole thing.
You smelled colors?
No, I saw like a Simone Biles floor routine.
Uh-huh.
Like, have you, like, just the rhythm of that and then the like.
Surf rock?
She's the greatest gymnast.
No. I thought you meant listening to Alex's clip with the surf rock.
No. Like,
sorry.
Listening to him talk was just him, like, doing all these weird movements, just like, holy shit, jumping, and then he pause, and that's when he leaps. And then he dismounts and then he does the little thing. Like, I could see all of those things happen. I did not hear a fucking word he said.
It was all
because
rhythm
that was
and motion.
A hot mess of bullshit.
Oh, yeah.
It looked amazing.
And it's only the beginning.
Uh-huh.
It's only the beginning of how weird, I guess synesthetic for you, this is going to get. This next clip. I'll say, from everything I understand about the human brain and science, what he's describing is literally impossible.
Okay.
I remember when I was a young child, right through until I was a teenager, and I stopped having the dream, almost every night I had this dream, amongst others. I have lots of dreams every night, hundreds and hundreds, the whole
See
world,
a psychiatrist!
Whole times, whole lifetimes, some of them.
That's impossible.
Whole families, peoples, it just goes on and on. It's incredible. I mean,
you're scaring me.
Who isn't more real than this world?
Uh-oh.
Oh, and God, not this.
He's in waking life. Come
not
on.
This. Come
Those
on.
Those are the crystal visions. I'll keep my visions to myself.
I'm going to go back really quick, just because, I mean, you don't have hundreds of dreams in a night. If you have, like, little fragments of things and whatever, and you just, you know, like, later imagine what they might have been, that's possible. You only have a couple dreams.
Unless you're having a dream within the dream that you're having.
Oh, that could be.
And then you have another dream within that. But what if you dream that you're multiple people within that second dream?
Now,
those two people can dream. And if they dream, then those two people can have two people's dreams.
Right.
And then all the dreams are happening all at once. You get a fucking, what's the...
Inception?
Yeah.
Yeah. You're talking about a movie like Alex might.
Yeah.
Now, the other, I'm super into,
Except I was doing it on purpose.
I'm super into transcendent experiences you can have through, like, meditating or lucid dreaming. I think
sure.
There's a lot to be, you can, work through, in those states. I think there's something to be said for that. But I do think it's troubling whenever you hear someone who's a, I don't know, 45-year-old bigot drunk, who's a propagandist getting on air saying, who knows if that's more real than this world? Like, I don't know about you anymore, man. That's, you did some shrooms, man. You did some shrooms and read God's Debris. That's what I'm convinced is happening. But then it gets worse. Listen to this.
And those are the crystal visions. I'll keep my visions to myself. As one line from a rock song says.
It's Fleetwood Mac.
But think about that. God is all powerful. God is all encompassing, timeless and endless. But then we are independent, sentient creatures who are able to have free will or subvert our free will and hand it over to these other fallen, failed creatures that decided not to go through the hierarchy, not to ascend through the long, arduous process. But decided to just try to rule their fallen third and second dimension positions.
What the fuck? Third and second dimension positions? I do kind of know what he's talking about, and it's crazy nonsense that's from, like, Illuminati message boards and shit like that. So that's not really all that worth getting into. But I would just like to point out that the idea of, like, you can either have free will or subvert it to these evil forces. What you ascribe is kind of also just the other side of subverting your free will. So, like, this is really boring. It's really boring, the idea of, like, yes, I am serving a extraterrestrial entity of some sort, but I'm free in doing so. These other people that I don't like are serving another entity, but they are trapped in doing the exact same thing as me. It's like, just stop.
That's if he was saying that to me, I think my only reaction would be just like a, what are you doing right now? Like, what are you doing?
What do you
what
mean?
What do you think you're doing? What does anybody think is going on here? Alex, what are you doing right now?
I'll tell you what he's doing. He's probably trying to prepare himself to go back on Rogan's show, because apparently he might be going back on Rogan's show soon.
Great.
I don't know. This, there was a post that was put on Facebook. Alex has been, of course, kicked off Facebook. I didn't do any looking into this, but there was an account that was supposedly Alex Jones's, and he said he confirmed that he's going back on Rogan's show soon.
Sure. Now, that sounds plausible.
And when I saw
true that, or not, it sounds plausible.
Yeah, when I saw it, I was like, "Yeah, that's weird." But then I started to think about it more. I'm like, "It's a really good chance that someone just made a fake Alex Jones profile and said that." So I have no idea. But if he is going back, this is good practice.
That is
get
good practice.
Really weird on air, because you know I'm about to have to do 3 hours. Real weird.
Yeah.
So that leads to this next clip, which is, man. I don't know what to tell you. Like I said, I'm not gonna be good at intros on this episode, because this next clip is about 3.5 minutes long. It's one of the most bizarre things I've ever, heard him say in a long time. It connotes a completely lost man, someone who is.
Yeah, I think we're there.
Someone who is utterly insane and trying to deal with it, while doing a radio show. Which is kind of interesting.
It is kind of interesting.
On some level, just as sort of like a psychological study. But this goes to some places that are like, oh, this is about you, Alex. You're wrestling with yourself.
Yeah, but he can't know that.
He feels it, though.
He feels it, but that's why he's who he is. His entire life is suppressing the way he feels about himself and then projecting it on others.
But that's why when he gets esoteric like this, it starts to creep out a little bit.
Yeah.
So
he's definitely a paranoid schizophrenic.
Very possibly.
Yeah.
Yes. But listen to this.
And all the studies show, and all the tech heads even admit, because I got to tell you, metaphysically, this is hurting you. It's depressing you. It's dumbing you down. It's destroying your creativity. It's sapping you. It's draining you.
Sounds like what
but
happens
still,
when you listen to InfoWars.
You can't help it. But then we inject into the matrix here daily, trying to reach you. And they were arrogant and tried to spin what we said and did and tried to turn it around against us, but it didn't work.
Nope.
So finally they said, ban him completely. Send him to the Phantom Zone. And let it be a lesson to all the rest of them. You shut up about the topics Alex Jones covers or we will destroy you. We will tell elaborate lies and frauds about you every day. We will come after your family. We will bankrupt you. We will destroy you if you don't submit to us. Well, that's slavery.
Real quick, I'm just going to cut in to say, like, there's so many people on the internet who say the exact same stories that Alex does. There's so many people who, like, they have not had any consequences that cover the exact same turf as him. He's facing consequences for his literal actions. This is all about him. This is all about Alex on Alex.
Yeah.
And that doesn't intimidate me. But the average empty person, so scared of death, so scared. Trying to hold on to everything. He's scared because in their spirit, they know they've made the wrong decisions. But then the system has control of their cerebral cortex and only one small part of their consciousness. And it's saying, you feel that fear? You feel that you're not fulfilled? Follow us deeper down the pit.
Sounds
down
like
the black
you.
Hole. We will give you fulfillment, but you've got to take our hand.
Oh, my God.
They get
God.
Scareder and scareder and scareder, and they say, you're scared of Trump. You're scared of Alex Jones. Come deeper with us. And they're like, I'm even more scared. I know, but trust us.
So real quick, let's just take Let's just take a quick pause.
Oh my God, Dan. Alex
Jones's entire
I'm freaking out.
His entire business model is largely, hey, you're scared of Muslims, right? You're scared of Muslims. Come with me. Come with me to this website where I give you all the answers about how bad they really are. Oh my God, now you're here. You're even more scared than you were before. And also, trans people are terrible. So like, that's exactly what his business model is.
I know. This is scary.
That's what the alt-right is. That's the alt-media.
I'm scared.
Oh, it's gonna get
I'm worried.
It's gonna get so much
worse.
I'm
genuinely worried about him now. I don't wanna be this, I don't wanna be concerned. This man's insane.
So much worse.
Just keep holding on to my hand until everything you are and everything you've ever been is under my control. give me your consciousness. Give me your creativity. Give me your dreams and your heart and your soul and your fears and everything you are.
And we have an Easter sale.
And believe as I believe and say as I say and repeat what I am. Replicate me. Join with my consciousness and subvert yourself to me.
Hey, everybody, please take all of our articles and publish them everywhere. Yeah. All of our talking points, yeah. Be sure you get them out as if they were your own.
Believe no one else.
And I will give you the stars. I will give you fulfillment.
We're winning. We're always winning. Trump. If you give me money, we win.
Trump
you
wants
win.
To take you to the stars and has secret healing technologies that he's going to release.
I know you follow me long and things only get worse. But that is for only so long. Once you're in the deeper water, it will be bliss. At the heart of a dead star forever. The cold so great for eternity. Destroyed.
That is their only power, is destroying the will and the consciousness that you are and keeping you from exercising your free will and going through the fear and going through the challenges. And then as soon as you do that, you're so fulfilled. You're like, oh, my God, how did I not see this earlier? And then you aren't depressed because you're not part of the system. You're depressed because you know you're losing your family. And you're losing people you cared about. And when they look at you and manifest that hatred and that evil, it hurts your feelings.
Yes!
Because you care about them and they smile back at you and you watch them through progression go from being depressed, sad people to running that demonic, smiling, jack-o'-lantern face.
You watch them go from being sad, depressed people to posting links to InfoWars and demonizing groups they didn't have an opinion on before.
Joker face. Of just, I'm in charge, and it feels good, and I'm doing what I want, and I'm in make-believe land, and woo, yeah. Ah, they're gone. Their soul was consumed, rewritten, diseased, destroyed forever, blown out the airlock. They thought they were rising, they were falling.
That is a fucked up clip.
Wow.
That was a ride, man.
I'm not doing good.
No.
That one hurt.
That was a ride.
That one, too. That one was a... Whoo!
Yeah.
Whoa, man! Wow!
I don't believe in Alex's dumb, like, they have to tell you what they're doing to you in order to do it kind of thing. But if I did, I would say that's good evidence
yeah.
that you're doing that exact thing.
Yeah.
But,
man,
it's so fucked up. The very one-to-one parallels of his... sick. And again, he's getting real close to ASMR Alex there doing
that. I know that was actually kind of fun though. I enjoyed that.
Just take it. Lose your creativity.
In the deep.
The deep water.
And the dead stars.
A star destroyed.
God, I want him to read audiobooks in ASMR. That would be amazing.
Alex Jones, like, legitimately, if he needs a late career change.
It is a truth universally acknowledged if, that a man in possession of a good fortune must be in want of a wife.
If he needs a late career change, I think he has all the makings of the hackiest science fiction writer of all time.
Oh, yeah.
I think he could pivot pretty easily into some real bad derivative science fiction.
But he can't write.
No.
He would have to dictate it
to Buckley.
Yeah.
Buckley, get on that typewriter. Buckley, stop fucking around on those 808s.
I stole it from J.D. Salinger's grave.
Buckley, I know you got another acid mix to make, but I need you to do some dictation. I put it out on our Twitter. If you haven't seen it, you should check out Buckley Hammon, his music. He's a good DJ. One of the only actually talented people in the entire InfoWars operation.
It's kind of interesting that everybody in InfoWars Studios is just watching that, right? Like, they're just there.
Oh, yeah.
Just, like, looking at that going, like, oh, boy.
No one's stopping him.
No one is stopping him.
That's what's weird. Like, you would think that your empathy would override the show or something like that.
I know, right?
Hey, Alex, you gotta take a five.
Yeah.
We have more special reports we can run. You gotta get your shit together.
Alex, we genuinely believe the bullshit you're peddling.
Yeah.
And even we can see how bad you're projecting right now, and we gotta get you some help, man.
Look, you're not on YouTube anymore. I know you feel a little more free to, like, just let your freak flag fly, but, this is being recorded. So, yeah. Reel it in.
Now, admittedly, Alex, really only Dan Friesen is listening to it at this point. So. It
may be the case. At least with a critical eye. But look, that shit's all weird as hell. And we can feel whatever way we want to feel about it.
Weird.
And we're right to feel whatever way we want to feel about it.
We feel weird.
But I will say that this next clip takes a little bit of the edge off because it gives us a real weird glimpse into how Alex Jones is now spending his evenings.
Okay.
If I have to call people and send them stuff by courier, I will. And guess what? When I do it personally, it's much better than me just on air talking about it. So now, more and more, I'm going home at night after the kids go to bed at like 8, 9 o'clock, or I'm letting them watch a movie, and I go into my office, and I got 10 people every night I call, different people. And I call them, and I have a talk with them. And I say, you got 600 radio stations. I really need you to do this for yourself and your family. You got 500 radio stations. You got 300 radio stations. You're a congressman. Do what you need to do. Why can't you see this? Well, they're big tech. They got a lot of money, and I'm not sure, you know, really. You got the one that's got to do it. Do it! The games are over. And if I got to step into the leadership role here when nobody else will, I've just been trying to, like, warn people like Paul Revere, and then no one wants to become George Washington. Well, if I got to be George Washington, I will. But we got a George Washington, don't we? He's called Donald John Trump.
No.
So I need Paul Revere's to get the message out. And I love you, and I appreciate you. That said, our problems are basically solved if you flood us with money.
There it is.
Love it.
Alex.
Bada bing.
What's our number again, Dan?
530 Neon Nip.
Alex, we are around at 8, 9 o'clock.
Please
give us a call.
Yeah.
We know you're here.
We'll help you.
We will. We'll talk you down from this.
Jesus. I love the picture, though, that, like, when his kids are just trying to watch, like, I don't know, Moana. He wouldn't let her watch Moana.
No. That's
too multicultural.
Yeah, absolutely. It's just Birth of a Nation on repeat.
Song of the South. David Knight gave him their copy of Song of the South.
Oh, no.
So the kids are watching Song of the South. Alex slips away to the office to harass radio hosts and tell them they're not doing their job.
Yeah.
And by the way, those numbers that he's using are pretty high. Like, the idea of who is on that number of stations?
Hannity.
That's it.
Yeah.
Hannity, Glenn Beck, Rush Limbaugh, Coast to Coast AM,
yeah,
and maybe someone like a Hugh Hewitt, or there's a couple other people who, like, fly under our radar quite a bit,
right?
But those are, like, it's a rarefied air. People who are on 500 plus radio stations. Right. It's only a few people.
He's just calling the entire cast of A Prairie Home Companion.
He is not on those stations anymore. He ran into a little trouble.
Oh, I can't think of why.
Well, it's because people don't like down-home values.
Oh, that is probably because of all the down-home values he's espoused about how dark energy is controlling the universe, and that's what God is. You know, down-home country values, Dan.
People are generally scared of people who hearken back to a time and a place when women were good-looking, all the men are above average.
All the propagandists, angry and shirtless.
It took me fucking years as a kid to figure out that Lake Wobegon
wasn't a real place.
Woe be gone.
Oh,
it
yeah.
It took me for fucking ever to understand that was a portmanteau. I wasn't all that smart growing up. Anyway, that would be so crazy if Garrison Keillor showed up on Alex's show. Is he dead? No, he's not dead. I thought he might have died right after he got slapped with those allegations.
That's what I was saying. Didn't he get slapped with some shit that he almost certainly did?
Yeah, there was some dirty behavior on his part.
Oh, what? A man in power? Come on! No! Dan! Say it ain't so!
Say
it ain't that every time you give a man a position of authority, then he surrounds himself with women. He doesn't absolutely sexually harass them 85% of the time or whatever it is. Come on, Dan. That's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Men run the world. We wouldn't allow that to happen.
I look forward to Garrison Keillor showing up at the Comedy Cellar in order to do some live
nice.
Radio theater.
Hot take.
He's going to do some radio theater at the Comedy Cellar.
He's going to do a drop-in radio theater?
Yeah. A long-form theater of the mind performance at the Comedy Cellar. Dropping in. God damn, what a fucked up world we live in.
Oh, man, why?
Even
burn
yeah.
it down.
Yeah.
Burn it down.
Yep.
Do we even need it anymore?
What? Comedy Cellar? Probably
no,
not.
No, the world.
Oh.
Yeah, probably not on that as well.
Oh, well.
Hey, man, don't worry about it. Dan, stand-up comedy is in a great place. Yeah, everybody knows that.
It's great. We've seen Alex be very weird on this episode. He's getting esoteric. He's getting up into his weird... seventh dimensional light beings kind
That's
of
That's in the
headspace.
Eye of the beholder, Dan.
Is
I feel like what's been going on here is, it's just standard radio fare.
Is this a simulation or not, or both, or neither? Who knows? All of the above. Yes. Hello. Is Total Recall reality? Maybe. I'm not sure. What's been going on with 2001 A Space Odyssey? You all know.
And why don't they make the whole ship out of the black box?
Right. We're very close to that level of thinking on his part.
Yep.
But now we get into what I would say is like much more problematic and troubling, because this isn't weird.
This is hate-filled?
This is, yeah, kind of, and fucked up. And it's demonstrative of why he is not the person to talk about certain things in society, let's say.
Oh, no.
This is bad.
So they think you're a bunch of idiots in Congress. They think our listeners are idiots. And they think we're all, no, we're not idiots. We're not idiots, Zuckerberg.
Yes, you are.
And we're sick of it.
I agree with that.
And I'm tired of you lying about what I said and what I did. Their favorite thing is I'm transphobic.
You are.
I'm a libertarian. I'm not against anybody as long as they're not hurting kids. What you want to do in your own life, you do. Everyone knows that's what I've always said. It's who I am. They have headlines all over the place. Jones hates the LGBT. Jones. And you know what I've noticed? I'm going to do a special report on this and maybe even a documentary.
You won't.
It's when I criticize pedophilia and the Catholic Church and sexualization of kids by any group, heterosexual, homosexual, I get called homophobic by these publications. And so what they're really saying is the core of the LGBT is run by the P. LBGT, LGBT, lesbian, gay, bi, trans. And then you had the P at the end.
So he just demonstrated.
You had the Q at the end.
Sure.
Not what?
Or the two Qs for
Wait,
clear and
did
questioning.
Did he just exemplify everyone's argument against him in the same sentence?
Oh, yeah. Big time.
I don't know if I've ever heard anybody damn themselves so directly.
I mean, it's so demonstrative. Like, it's.
That's incredible.
It's literally him being like, they always say that I do this thing I'm doing right now.
Yeah. It's bananas.
It's crazy.
I don't care what anybody does. I am just saying that, you know, whenever I criticize, pedophiles, whomever they are, I'm just saying that the entire LGBTQ community is run by pedophiles. I don't get why there's a problem here.
Well,
come on, man.
Well, because there's a weird Venn diagram situation going on where, like, when he talks about pedophiles, he's not always talking about the LGBT community.
If A,
but
then
when
B.
he talks about the LGBT community, he's pretty much always weaving in pedophilia to it.
Tends to.
So the issue is, I mean, we've seen this 100 times when we've been doing this show. There's so many times that he, just like exactly what he did there. He's saying that like, oh, well, that must mean that the community is run by the P. You know, like that is an unnecessary step for him to take. And it's not the conclusion that he's coming to from innocent coverage of other things. It's because every time he covers any of these issues, he's like, he can't resist the urge to be like, what they're really doing is trying to fuck our kids.
Yeah, I know.
It's
bananas.
But that's why people are offended by it. If you're just making valid criticisms of the Catholic Church, have at.
I think we're all pretty much there now. It took a long time. It took a long time.
Right.
It took 50 to 100 to... I don't know, all of the church's existence for everybody to kind of be like, oh yeah, they're a bunch of fucking pedophile rapists. and the Pope knows about it. But man, you shouldn't just figure out where to put the period in a sentence, Alex. Just figure it out. You know, I'm a libertarian, and I think everybody should be able to do what they want to do. Period. And then skip the last part, because then the last part is you being like, and also I'm justifying why everybody's saying this about me.
Also, he's not a libertarian.
No, of course not.
But
no, he's a Nazi.
And he doesn't believe any of the, like, standard libertarian ideas. He just right. thinks he does.
Right.
But, like, I don't know what else to say other than what we've already said. Like, in that clip, he's embodying why people come down on him when he talks about these things. It's because what he, I guess he uses the term anchor, you know, all the time. He's trying to anchor the idea of pedophilia and LGBT identity.
Yeah.
Like, he's trying to conflate the two things. And that's what he always does. We've seen it over and over again. I don't want to say that he hates every single gay person in the world, but it's hard not to feel that way based on his rhetoric.
Hey, I don't care whether you're Christian or Muslim or Jewish or are there others, but I am just saying that all Muslims are run by murdering pedophiles, and I don't get why people think I'm Islamophobic.
Yeah. It's tough to see why.
Good work, Alex.
Tough to see why that connection might be made.
Oh, boy.
So, his show sucks. He's a dick, and he's a weirdo. Like, just the weird, rambling, esoteric nonsense leading into this very clear transphobia that he's trying to use to defend himself against allegations of transphobia.
And yet, at the same, like, even then, it's allegations of transphobia hypocrisy. In that he's enjoying.
Well, we'll get to that in a minute.
But then even then, like he could have just stuck with the transphobia stuff. And instead he just roped everybody in with it. Oh, people are saying I'm transphobic. But in reality, what I hate is everyone in the LGBTQ community.
All
because they're all pedophiles.
Identities
are. What are you doing?
They're all monsters. Hey, you guys didn't make me seem bad enough.
Yeah. I know, right?
Yeah. Yep.
Wow.
Yep. Just don't spell my name wrong. It's that kind of thing.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
Call me whatever you want, but make sure you know how hateful I am.
Yeah.
So he's running a real terrible show, and it's really interesting to see who will still go on it.
Oh, there's somebody goes on?
Well, I mean, we had Ann Coulter was just on the other day, which is really fucked up. Because Alex has spent months talking about how much she sucks.
Yeah, she's a demon.
Well, also because she was one of the famous conservatives who turned on Trump and was like, he's not doing a good job. Like, yep. Ann Coulter, you can go to hell. You pile a bag and sack of skeleton.
I bet now
she's back on board.
I'm going to go way out on a limb and I'm going to say he probably insulted her appearance.
Yeah, he did. Definitely.
Yeah.
And now I guess she's back on Trump's team. And so he's like, all right, I'll have her back on the show. She's willing to come on. Hooray. So she was on the other day. Daryl Hamamoto was on the other day, my dude.
No shit.
Yeah.
All right. I'm liking a world where instead of anybody else, it's just Alex and Daryl co-hosting.
He has the time for it.
Yeah, right?
Also, I looked into it. Daryl Hamamoto update.
Is that our new corner?
Yep.
Okay.
So my favorite crazy, Daryl Hamamoto, former Asian studies professor, vanguard researcher on the topic of desexualization of Asian males in American culture.
Right.
Very interesting research, lost his mind at some point and started rambling about the New World Order.
Yep.
So
needs help.
We reported on this show that he had been fired by the UC Davis. Because he is no longer working at UC Davis.
I bet he has a different position, Dan.
No, I think he got forced into retirement. Because he's listed in their, I found their, like, announcements of 2017, 2018 retirees.
Uh-huh.
And I would say a lot of them have much longer tenures than him. They'd been there many more. He was there for 22 years as a professor.
Yeah.
And a lot of them were in the 40s of years. And, you know,
there's
no reason why he'd retire except for, like, dude,
go away.
Yeah. We'll cut you a deal.
So that's the secret of 2017.
It could be. So Hamamoto, it appears, was not fired, but probably accepted some sort of a deal to go into retirement. But also recently.
A golden parachute.
Also
so to
recently,
speak.
He was on Alex Jones's show, and also on the War Room, that went a little bit viral. He was saying that, there was a wave. A weather control weapon that was shot from Antarctica that split a hurricane. And He speculated that when John Kerry visited Antarctica a couple years back, he was going to check on those weather weapons. And did not speculate it so much as he was saying, yeah, that's what happened. So, this has been the Daryl Hamamoto update. I miss that guy.
Okay. All right. All right.
He's so crazy.
Weather weapon.
He's so crazy.
That split a hurricane.
Oh, man.
It didn't end the hurricane? It just split it?
I was reading a bunch of, like, his students' reviews, because UC Davis allows students to post reviews of their professors.
Right, right.
And they were all just like, this guy is a fucking prick. And also, there was a weird theme of, explains in class that he's a reverse racist. So if you're not Asian, you're going to have a bad time in this class. Like, oh, so he's just a racist.
You know what? Sure. I'm fine with that.
Whatever.
Whatever, Hamamoto.
Yeah, enjoy. Yeah. So he's not the person who's on this episode, though.
You're the one who didn't Google Daryl Hamamoto before you took his class. That's a cursory Google.
It's kind of on you, student.
Yeah.
So he's not the one who's on this episode, but there's someone else who's still willing to go and show up for Alex Jones's show.
Ben Garrison is our guest. We're riding shotgun with callers.
So Ben Garrison, my dude, he's the guest.
Great.
If you don't remember, Ben Garrison is the guy who does political cartoons that are over-labeled.
Yeah.
Way too many labels.
You know what I like
very amateurish, hacky.
A lot of acting teachers will say to you, I've never actually taken an acting class, but I assume this is true. They'll say to you, acting is internal. Acting is about a subtlety. And to me, Ben Garrison is the a comic strip corollary of that. That is a man who maintains subtlety as an art form.
Well, you know, he
just transforms and then really even transcends the art form.
In the world of speech, they say that brevity is the soul of wit.
Right.
And he is the visual analog of that aphorism. That,
they say a picture is worth 1,000 words, so long as you write 1,000 words on that picture.
No, the expression in Ben Garrison's world is a picture equals 1,000 words. He slightly misinterpreted that.
A picture requires 1,000 words.
Also, his fucking cartoons are generally, like, really get close to racist. And then also beyond that, I would say that he's kind of living proof that censorship doesn't exist of conservatives.
Yeah.
Because the only reason he is at all popular is because of pretty reactionary, really fucked up political cartoons that he's drawn supporting Trump. His entire career is based on the fact that no one is censoring him.
And that the people who agree with what he says enjoy a cartoon that doesn't force them to think about it for even 1 second.
Fuck visual metaphors, biatch.
I just want a cartoon to look like the words I say. That's it. I want it to be labeled. Mm-hmm. I want it to be codified. I want to make sure that even if, for even 1 second, I never feel the fear of, am I going to figure this out? Have you ever seen the back of a cereal box, Dan? Sometimes they ask you to find the differences between two pictures, and I can't, and it makes me feel inferior.
Ben Garrison
is
for you.
I wish Ben Garrison would just point them out for me on the back of a cereal box.
So we have a Facebook group called Go Home and Tell Your Mother You're Brilliant, and from time to time, people will post Ben Garrison cartoons in it. And every single time I have to wrestle with, and I don't usually have this thought. It's like, this has gotta be fake. You know, like, I can never tell if it's a joke.
Yeah.
I legitimately, like, there have been a couple that have been fake Ben Garrison cartoons, and I can't tell.
How could you tell
the difference.
How could you? He is self-parody.
He has, like, you know how some people have singular styles?
Yeah.
He has the opposite.
No.
It's a style.
He has universal style.
It's very easy for anyone to ape.
Yeah.
But he still sees fit to show up on Alex's show. And I'll say that we're not going to listen to a ton of his appearance, but I think he has a really shaky idea of what free speech means.
Or reality or any.
I don't want to judge him on those terms. That's Alex's playground.
Sure.
He just seems to not really understand what censorship or free speech has to do with.
None of them do. None of them understand a goddamn fucking thing.
But I'm glad that free speech exists for one reason and one reason only. And that is this next clip where Alex Jones does, look, We've critiqued his Cuomo.
Yeah.
We've critiqued his Bernie Sanders impression.
They're the same.
We've critiqued his Dracula Soros impression.
Right.
Who was the last one? He did another one. I can't remember. We've critiqued
him. Yeah.
We've seen him try and pull out his bag of tricks.
You know, the weirdest one was his John Madden.
True. It was all high pitched and shit. And he wasn't trying to sell me fungus spray.
Here's a guy.
Boom. Trifectodactin. Boom. Bad impression. So this impression, I will say, will live on as like the least accurate impression.
Okay.
Bernie Sanders is pretty far off. This one.
Bernie Sanders is offensive to the mentally handicapped.
Right. And I will say for that reason, it's much more offensive than this impression.
Right.
But this one isn't even, Bernie isn't in the ballpark. This isn't in the same
state. Stop selling me. I gotta hear this.
No, it's banned in China. Google's helped build a censorship search engine there.
I'm not liking where this starts.
The dictator is Winnie the Pooh. For whatever the reasons, I guess the way he talks in Chinese sounds like, hello, Mr. Christopher Robin. I guess he lisped in the Chinese, and so the Chinese think it's funny, Christopher Robin, and so they're not allowed to make jokes about it. See how that works? You don't talk bad about him. He's a very important person in the 100-acre wood.
What is happening?
Does he think that's what Winnie the Pooh sounds like?
Somehow that sounds more like a racist Kermit the Frog.
I mean,
what just happened there?
There is an offensive Chinese thing that he's doing there for sure.
Oh, there's absolutely an offensive Chinese
thing. But there's not even a kernel of Winnie the Pooh in there.
Do you know how bad that was? I immediately forgot how Winnie the Pooh actually sounds. I can hear it in my head.
Then
it was gone. Yeah.
Oh, bother. There's a lilt to it. There is
a
mopiness.
Bit of a scratch.
There's a mopiness.
Yeah.
But there's also a slightly, it's not a British accent, but there's a slight Britishness
to it. What was it? It's like the thing that makes it distinct though is that there's that
it's soft.
Light scratch. There's that light scratch on it where it's almost like, oh God, I can hear it in my head now perfectly. I can hear it perfectly and I can never recreate it.
Now this is the time when I should say full disclosure.
Yes.
I played Winnie the Pooh in a fire prevention skit when I was in seventh grade and I had to do some studying of the Winnie the Pooh voice.
Okay.
And I will say if I showed up and did that, I would have been fucking fired from that drama club. Oh yeah, for sure.
Well, I mean, if it was all Chinese immigrants doing the play, then I really think they would have been right to fire you for that one.
Sure. I just think anybody would.
Does he sound like that? I don't know what Xi Jinping sounds like.
It doesn't sound like that.
Fair enough.
For
no,
Xi.
I mean
that wasn't accurate for Winnie the Pooh.
No.
It was just. That was Alex just doing,
that was him somehow doing, like he might as well have said Ching Chong Bing Bong while he was doing it.
He's not Jesse Waters.
Yeah.
But like, legitimately, I think what happened is probably like, he said Winnie the Pooh and he's like, I'm gonna go for it. And then he started and he was like,
terrible idea. Can't stop now.
Yep.
Gotta power through this.
Can't show ass.
Gotta soldier through.
Exactly. And that's where you hear him get to 100-acre woods. You're closer to Yoda.
Yeah, exactly.
Asshole.
Yeah. What are you doing?
Yeah. Anyway. I told you that we're not going to hear much from Ben Garrison, but I do think it's appropriate that we hear a little bit from him.
I'm going to need you to label everything he says, though.
If we were on SoundCloud, I would just post a bunch of comments right around this point.
No, I would just say, like, after every word he says, I want you to say another word that explains the words that he's saying.
I can't do that, but I can explain it afterwards.
Okay. Can you label it?
These companies, they are such villains.
Well, they certainly are. And, you know, we saw this last year. Start when they ban Andrew Anglin and his Daily Stormer site. Now, I despise Andrew Anglin.
This is a picture of a
and
storm.
And I don't like Nazis, and most Americans don't. So
picture
they started with an easy target. Okay, we're not going to allow him pay
target
access
with an
to
arrow
PayPal.
In it.
We're going to take his site off of GoDaddy. We're going to harass
false.
Him and kick him off everywhere we find. And you know,
Bigfoot.
This is the whole crux of the matter. We have to protect even unpopular speech. I don't
shield.
I think he should, pay the consequences if he's doing things illegally.
$100 bill.
He is just having fun with his,
he has a right to his free speech, just like
we gotta let him have his free speech, because now what they're doing, since they successfully got rid of all the Nazis, they're starting to label
Bigfoot
conservatives
again.
Of Nazis, and then we get kicked off too. That's their plan.
Well, that's been the admitted plan.
So the problem that I have here is the understanding of free speech.
I think I could draw what he just said into a perfect Ben Garrison cartoon.
Look, Daily Stormer got kicked off of, you know, like PayPal and GoDaddy.
Do you mean a giant cumulonimbus cloud with a calendar on it?
Exactly.
Yes.
They didn't have their free speech in any way violated. These businesses were like, oh, shit. Let's not help Nazis raise funds to harass Jews. And then the business made a decision. We don't want to be a part of that. That's not free speech being infringed upon.
No, that's a company being slightly better than Ford Motors.
Now, I agree with what he's saying in principle, the idea of like you have to protect even abhorrent speech. But that's when the state is saying you can't say those things. That's not when companies are saying, hey, you represent something we are absolutely against, so no, get off our fucking thing. We have the right to say we don't want to do business with
you.
But
if these guys understood a goddamn, like, this is one situation where I am going to put them all on the stupid continuum as opposed to the, when we're talking about the
craven.
Stupid v evil continuum.
I think they're protecting themselves. It's
I don't
not
think
stupid.
So. I think they're fucking stupid. I think they just don't understand that. Because that's like the same way Alex Jones thinks that the First Amendment rules apply in fucking England
other
or whatever.
Countries, yeah,
yeah they just don't fucking know. They think it's some sort of biblical scripture. And they don't understand
well, it
that it's like a thing.
It kind of like works with that grandiosity. You know, like one of the parts of like having grandiose delusions is that you think that all of the world should treat you the same everywhere you go.
Yeah.
You're like, I deserve. So, yeah, I agree with you to some extent, but I also think that it's a calculation on their part because they realize like, fuck. Their behavior got them kicked off of these things that we need in order to make the money that we scam off people.
Right.
We are probably the next in the crosshairs because, let's be clear, we've done some pretty bad, like, not illegal stuff, but we've done stuff that's obviously distasteful to most people's sensibilities.
Right.
So, of course, we're going to turn this into a thing where we misrepresent what free speech means. Like, that's why the present day, I think, is such a stupid fucking show. Is because
I think the present day is a stupid fucking life.
Well, but it's particularly with Alex Jones and his free speech martyrdom campaign that he's going on. Like, it's not it doesn't. I know that were someone who liked Alex Jones to listen to the show, they would probably be like, "Hey, why aren't you wrestling with this thing he's saying about being kicked off of stuff?"
Blah blah blah.
And my
blah.
Response to that would be what I say a lot of the time, which is I dispute the premise. I don't care.
Yeah.
I reject that as an idea. If he had his free speech taken away by the state, right?
Yeah.
Like if the state was saying shut down Alex Jones and they were actually doing that.
Oh, do you mean like if the president in fact came out and said that a private company should do this in order to force someone to stop doing something and then turned it into a law?
Or further, if those companies, if Alex could like legitimately prove that they were all working together against him.
Like the NFL against Colin Kaepernick.
Right. Oh shit, that case is still going through. So, like, if you could prove those things, it would be a different conversation, but he needs to prove those things in any way before it's a valid argument on free speech grounds. Right now, it's just an asshole getting his druthers. He's getting what he deserves. That's
yep.
it.
Yep.
It's not interesting to me even as a conversation. It's just like, hey, sucks to be you, but that's because you became a millionaire by being a dick.
Yeah.
That's what happens. Sometimes, the game doesn't last forever.
I would say almost all the time the game doesn't last forever.
Sometimes it's a real cool ride. And
like,
then
eventually they even got Dennis Hastert, and he was protected for 40 years.
Right.
Yeah.
Yep. It comes for you. Anyway, Alex, like,
Jesus.
But
these fucking guys.
He hides behind, like, his perception of himself as a libertarian. He hides behind this idea that, like, I'm a libertarian. Everyone just do whatever you want.
He believes he's a libertarian.
Right.
I genuinely believe that he believes
right.
that. He's not, because he doesn't understand it
but
at all.
But that's because I think that he just, I don't know. It's hard to say, but I think he got into the Birch Society when he was younger, John Birch Society. I think he fell in love with Ron Paul at some point, and quite frankly, I think that has less to do with politics and more with identity.
Racism.
Yeah. And I think that because Ron Paul probably identified more libertarian, that just became like, oh, whatever Ron Paul believes, that's what libertarian is. And that, I don't know. I also don't think that you'd ever be able to find five libertarians ever that believe the same thing. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like, I think that you, if you have more than three libertarians in a room, you will have a disagreement. That's my.
Is that your ancient Chinese aphorism?
Yeah, I think that's an axiomatic statement. They don't agree on anything except that they're not fucking Republicans. That's all they agree on.
Yeah, but that's because what it is an identity that's like, well, we just don't want to call ourselves Nazis.
Right.
We recognize that Republicans are Nazis and we don't want to call ourselves that.
Right. It's more just like, I don't know. How would I put this? It's more like this, there's this sort of, high school mentality of needing to define yourself as something other.
In opposition to something.
Right, right. So even if you are mostly just like, I believe everything that Republicans believe, you've got to choose some other thing if you want to feel cool.
Right.
You
know, right.
You can't be like, maybe you like pop music, but you
right.
can't identify as that. You got to be like, well, actually, I'm.
They can't positively identify themselves, so they have to negatively identify themselves.
Yes.
They can't articulate something they believe. They can only articulate things that they don't believe.
They need to exist in opposition.
Yes.
I think that's a good way to put it.
Yeah.
But Alex Jones in this next clip, I think makes pretty fucking clear that he's nowhere near any kind of legitimate libertarian belief. This is ludicrous.
So we need the First Amendment Act for the internet. That's what it's called. The First Amendment Act, saying unless it's illegal, like anything else, you don't have regulatory power over it. And if it's a third party posting, you can have your terms of service and remove it. But only for reasons that violate law. You can't then interpret and project onto it whatever you want. That if Alex Jones says, I don't want transsexuals teaching 3-year-olds that they're a different sex, that is sexualizing children. Not that I hate men in drag and clown outfits. That's what it is.
What?
It's that I don't want heterosexuals, homosexuals, anybody sexualizing kids. They go, oh, you don't like transsexuals. No, I'm a libertarian. Okay. I don't like you involved with the kids. Stop it. So they change the subject. So, and then they go, oh, you're off Twitter. You're off Facebook. You bullied transsexuals because they're public figures, but they're so special and protected.
What?
They get access to your children.
What?
So then I ask, is it LGBTP? Because, you know, every time I say leave the kids alone, stop sexualizing them by heterosexuals, the Catholic Church, any of these groups, they say, oh, you're being LGBT phobic.
And well,
if you're adults doing things in your own bedroom, I'm not phobic. Okay, give me a break. It's an obsession that you think I'm obsessed with what you're doing in your bedroom. It's boring. The point is that it's the sexualization of children, so they change the subject. Do you see what I'm saying?
No. You just said cross-dressers or people, you know, trans people.
They're clowns. They're wearing clown outfits. Yeah. I don't understand why people would take that as a transphobic thing to say.
He can't
stop
himself.
I'm just saying that every part of what it is you are is a clown.
Legitimately, when he's trying to defend himself in his speech of like, well, isn't it crazy that they think that I'm some kind of an asshole about this stuff? He is an asshole about it.
And
he
also,
can't stop.
As a libertarian, I want them to write a law regulating everybody else's speech to give me free rein to do whatever it is I want.
Now we need to,
like a libertarian.
We need to unpack that quite a bit more. Because the other stuff we can just be like, Alex, own your transphobia.
Yeah, just be that way.
Yeah, and own your homophobia.
You're a racist, homophobic, fucking absolute bigot. You're a bigot.
Well, yeah, absolutely. And it is the same thing of like, he's scared to see Muslim women at the pool shop, right?
Yeah.
But he's fine if they're Muslim women at home or something
Did you read the op-ed in the, I think it was the Wall Street Journal?
No.
There was this one.
I don't even know. I don't need specifics. I did not read it.
Okay. Let's not call them a writer. Let's call them just a person.
With a pen.
Who went to London and wrote this hugely Islamophobic piece that was like, and so when I was a kid, I went there and I saw somebody in a niqab.
Oh.
And I was terrified.
I saw someone tweet about this, but I was I'm not clicking on that.
Yeah, no, it's such like, my favorite part was, it was like, and then I saw a sign that said, no alcohol allowed here. And I was like, well, this must be the Muslims. And then you're like, dude, London allows alcohol everywhere except for places where assholes are. That has nothing to do with any religion and everything to do with assholes.
That reminds
you, unlike in America, most places are like New Orleans, where you can just walk around with beer wherever you want, and there's only specific zones where people have committed acts of violence a lot.
Mm-hmm.
So fucking stupid. Amazing. And then people are just going to believe that shit as though that's a justification for their Islamophobia. It's bananas.
Right. I mean, that reminds me of that Lauren Southern clip that she posted not too long ago where she was talking to people in like a Muslim area. And it's like, hey, well, there's an Arabic restaurant right here, but where's there a British restaurant? And the person was like, oh, it's just right down the block. It's right over there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
There's a pub right
over there. Around the corner.
The person was like,
Oh.
Whoops. Mm. Yeah. Because the arguments always fall apart if anyone who has the information can answer the question.
Yeah.
And that's generally why they write an op-ed. Cause there's no response.
Yeah, cause there's no, there's nobody who's like,
hey. Or they just use, like, people selectively that they talk to who are probably don't have the answers that
it's like I said, almost like they're constructing a narrative that has nothing to do with reality in order to make people afraid of something, and then they'll believe the rest of the dumb shit that they say.
It's very similar.
That's
Anders Breivik.
Huh?
Did.
No, I can't think of anything like that.
So
it's a completely new phenomenon.
We need to unpack this regulation thing a little bit more, though. I really need to, because it's very important. So Alex is anti-regulation as a rule. But he wants regulation on the internet as a free speech act in order to make it so they cannot be any regulation on the internet. So you want to hold on.
A First Amendment act. Sorry, that's just a fun name for an act.
Right. It's stupid.
A First Amendment act, you know. One like the First Amendment. Mm. But it's for me only.
So we're creating regulation in order to make it so these people can't have regulations that govern what they will or will not accept in terms of internet behavior.
I don't know what
you're saying. So the problem with that.
I can see no problem.
Well, I mean, obviously it would apply to anybody. It would apply to, like, if you have a blog and someone leaves a comment that you don't like, you can't kick them off unless they commit a crime.
You proved how great that act is.
You don't have control over your own space on the internet that you created.
Yeah, of course not. You shouldn't.
No. And hey, let's say, we have knowledgefight.com and a lot of people have left some really fucked up comments.
Really?
That I haven't erased and I've written responses to.
Oh, no shit. I haven't read any. I want to read some.
I'll send you the link.
Okay.
The article that I wrote about George Soros particularly has gotten a lot of really fucking stupid people.
I can't imagine why.
And then what I do is I take the points that they're making and I write like, well, here's why that's wrong. And, hey, he's not the best person in the world. He's absolutely a billionaire and that's suspicious. But the specific points that you're bringing up are lies that are based on stupid globalist propaganda. You know, all that shit.
Dan, you need to take a page out of the Atlantic and really try and understand these people. And you know what? You don't want to treat them like what they're saying
is wrong, Jordan. You're missing the point.
Sorry.
So I engage with all that on the website. But at the same time, there are a bunch of times that we get spam comments from, like, buy shoes for $25 or whatever.
Right.
That's not illegal. Now I can't erase that from the website. I can't clean up our comment section. That's not a crime for them to advertise in our comment section. Or now we need a regulation saying that it is a crime for you to advertise in the comment section in order for you to clean up spam comments that come in. you understand the problematic territory he's entering into in terms of, hey, no regulations on the internet. You can say whatever you want.
You know what? Normally, I facetiously buck against you and take the wrong side as a joke. But nah, that's dumb, dude.
Well, but that's even like only,
that's totally stupid, bro.
That's only the simplest reason why it's fucking stupid.
Oh no, no, no!
There's
don't worry.
Other like reasons of hey, harassment sometimes is a murky area of whether it's legal or not, but you shouldn't fucking do it, and you should be punished for it because decorum. Should exist. Like, there's much better arguments than spam comments, but just that one simple thing. Like, hey, Alex, now you need to create the Free Speech Act, the First Amendment Act, with a caveat that I can erase spam on, like, sunglasses sales or whatever.
Now, I'm leaning now more towards, like, especially after today, just the barrage of stupidity that the internet gave me today. I'm just like, you know what? I am for Trump's EPA. I want them to deregulate all CO2 emissions. I want everything to be in the atmosphere because you know what's really going to happen when that happens? Everybody's going to die except a few billionaires. They're going to have their castles or whatever.
Or
right?
If you believe that
but
Matt Damon.
But guess what?
If you believe that
we're
Matt Damon
all
movie
going
that
to
Alex
go needs. To their fucking castles and we're going to murder them and we're going to live in them. So humanity gets what it gets. We have it coming to us, but like 100 of us are going to live in Peter Thiel's fucking island and we're going to eat the Peter Thiel bones. We're going to make fucking soup out of him.
That's
I know there's
idea.
Not a lot of calories in it.
There's still chicken that's going
to
exist.
No, but that'll be fine. We can get to that later.
And we should
first,
transition to a vegetarian
first we
diet.
Have to first we have to put Peter Thiel's head on a goddamn spike and then
like it's Lord of the Flies
exactly like Lord of the Flies
let's
why
be better
are we
than that.
Lord of the Flies
because we're better than that
are we
yeah and that was based on the Stanford prison experiment which has actually been debunked so that is a fun piece of literature but also doesn't necessarily depict the behavior
no
that people,
once again as we've stated previously in any kind of crisis
generally people
most people come together and try and help each other.
And
out.
Actually, in this episode, Alex does say 10 days after anything, most people become cannibals. So he says it on this episode, this very episode. I didn't pull a clip of it because it's like he says it all the time. But on this ride that we've been on, I don't need to bring up again how weird he's been, the esoteric nonsense. But he's twice tried to talk about how he's not against trans people, and in doing so has been very much trying to conflate the ideas of queer identities with pedophilia.
He's been very explicit about being against transphobic or being against trans people.
Right. So I don't want to talk about that too much because who cares?
Right.
And I don't mean who cares in a way that is dismissive of the feelings of people who are hurt by that because I do understand that you could you know, trans-identifying people would probably be like, hey, motherfucker, your rhetoric is so dehumanizing about us, and now you want to use us as a way to get your jollies?
Yeah.
You know, that sort of thing? I don't want to take away from that. I respect that position. That's not an argument I can make. That's for them to make, and I back them up 100%.
Yeah.
The only thing that I care about, first of all, is that he clearly was looking at porn on a phone that he's using at work, which is very unprofessional. I think it's
at least it's unprofessional.
I think that there's that.
It's sexual harassment in just about every workplace.
And then we get to the bigger issue, I think, which brings us to our last clip. And that is that because everyone posted about all this, and it doesn't really hurt him all that much, he's going to use that to his benefit.
No.
Because if it happens on my phone, it just magically gets out everywhere. I was thinking about doing a trolling operation where Soros text messaged me, good job, Jones, keep it up. And like a split second of it being seen, it's like top news story all over the world. And I'm saying that because I'm going to do that troll and people are going to believe it, that I'm going to be able to go back to this and point it out. I'm going to do one with Trump too. I'm going to wait like a month or something though. And I'm going to troll the hell out of it. We'll go back to Ben Garrison and phone calls here in a moment.
Great work. Yeah. Great work, dude.
This is what this is like another perfect example of when, much earlier in this show, I was saying like, hey, it's that Bon Iver song is really fun. I'm glad everyone's having a fun time with it. But you need to realize how propagandists will use the response that you give to them for their benefit. Now, I don't think Alex is going to follow through with this, but that's his way of reclaiming this embarrassing moment in his life and trying to turn it into something like, ha, I'm going to, oh, look how much press I got out of that. Yeah. I'm going to fucking, you know. He claims that it's just like, oh, it was a pop-up. It wasn't a pop-up.
No.
It was an X-Video screen. That's not where pop-ups go.
No, pop-ups go to like Shein?
Mike Shein?
No. Like the store.
They go to specific places that'll either give you a virus or they go to places that are trying to sell you something.
Oh shit,
not
did you know that you are the 1,000th visitor to this and you get a free app download?
Oh my god.
Yeah, you need to go visit this site and then you'll get a free app download.
That's what pop-ups do.
Yeah.
So, but he's trying to use that to reclaim it and trying to turn it into like, oh, I'm gonna fuck with people even more. And the implicit piece of that is that maybe I was fucking with them that time.
Yeah.
When he wasn't.
No.
But he's good. He's slick. He's a good propagandist. So we've come to the end of this, and the only things that I can really take away are he's in a weird mood.
Yeah, a little bit.
No one in his world really understands the issues that they're talking about.
Nope.
And then, man, he should just not touch, like, gay issues or LGBT issues at all. He can't resist making it bad. You know what I mean? Like, he just can't.
That's because he is.
I think that there are, like, the stories that he wants to cover, some of them have, like, legs, and people do a better job. Like, we were talking about the Catholic Church. That's not a gay or trans issue. That's a fucking church issue.
That's a dude issue.
That's a pedophilia issue.
Dudes!
Yeah, but, so there's people who can cover that much better, because it seems like every time he does, he drifts into real bigotry. And he demonstrates it so fucking clearly. It's nuts. I hate this in the present. I really do. You were mocking me for not being effervescent earlier in the show. And the reason is because I just got done, listening to and, chopping this up. It sucks.
I know.
His show is bad.
I know. I'm not trying to be, look, I got a job to do. You got a job to do. Mine is infinitely easier. I'm just here to.
No, I appreciate
to
it.
To fucking try and. God damn it, dude! Yep. This is.
Oh, bigger issue.
What's that?
His Winnie the Pooh impression's terrible.
His Winnie the Pooh. Oh man.
So
can
I'm,
we hear that again?
No.
Pull it back.
I don't want to keep covering the present.
I know
that I keep choosing to. There's a sick fascination that's like, is it gonna be? What's it gonna be like? You know, it's that. It's that Schrodinger's podcast or whatever, you know, like maybe it's the craziest thing ever
you cannot know. It exists as both until you observe it.
Yeah. And maybe on some level I needed to do this just to like hit a reset button from the Anders Breivik episode. There's a decent chance that that's the case.
Yeah.
Like maybe it would have felt like we were copping out by doing a Jim Baker.
If we were just going to clown on somebody for 2 hours.
Yeah. I don't know. There's a lot of issues that I need to unpack on my own, and thankfully I'm going to therapy tomorrow so I can do that.
Good.
But this sucks. Alex is a disaster. I don't know what else to say other than we have a website.
We do have a website, Dan. Oh. What is that website?
Oh, you don't have any more thoughts either. It's knowledgefight.com.
I mean, I'm not saying that I don't.
Okay.
I'm not saying that I'm manufacturing this in the moment. I'm just unsure of any other way forward for so much. Like with this episode, all of that stuff. If we weren't our show, if we were just a mainstream news outlet trying to cover news, all that I would think is just like, pass. There's more important shit.
Right.
Stop it.
Right.
You know, like all of this shit, every time we get a rundown of dumbass Trump's tweet storm, everybody should just be like, fucking pass. No, you don't get this. Mm-hmm. This isn't for this. You don't win. And by giving you attention, you win. So
right.
You don't get this.
Yep.
This time you lose. And that's the only way to make you lose is to just say, fuck you. We're not talking about you. Grow the fuck up. Every Trump headline on like Google News shouldn't be like, Trump at 6 a.m. tweeted this bullshit. It should just be like, Trump said some dumb shit, pass, right, and then move on, because everybody fucking knows.
I disagree.
It doesn't matter.
I disagree. I think that there certainly isn't, it's not us, and I don't know if it exists, but I think that there is probably a hypothetical version of covering, like, his dumb tweets, like, in a real version. There's a way to do it. Like, I think that there is a way for someone to do it, but everyone does it wrong. It's what we keep coming back to about the, like, sort of ping-pong nature of propaganda and the emotional response. There is, like, it's the two sides of the same coin.
Right.
And it's what is manifest in that last clip of Alex saying, like, I'm going to troll people with, like, Soros,
right,
texting me good job and just see it for 1 second, like that thing that everyone was, you know. Yeah. It's that same thing. Like, people like Alex, people like Trump, people like most of the active participants in the right and the alt-right now.
Nazis.
They know. They know the game. They're trying to elicit the response that most people give them.
Yeah.
They're trying to do that because it's advantageous to them. They have no shame. The reason that it's not a big deal for Alex, in his own heart, to be seen with a window of pornography open on his phone, that wasn't his history. That was open in his phone as a window.
Yeah.
The reason it's not shameful for him is because he doesn't fucking care. There's no shame. There's no
bottom.
Not. He knows what he's doing. He's craven. He is just a source of transmuting fear, white identity, chauvinism, anti-Islam, feelings into pill sales.
He's the full propaganda alchemist.
Exactly. Yeah absolutely.
No,
all of those people are too. They don't all have pill operations, but all of them are running the same game, whether it's clicks, whether it's Ben Shapiro has supplements he's selling
right
now.
Right. Because the world's great.
All of these people are doing the exact same game, and in order to run the game, you have to elicit the response out of the other side that feeds into that game. Now, we don't elicit that response. Like, we hear him and...
we get very different responses.
Well, but, like, we're not going to give him the petulant child screaming that wants attention. We're not giving him attention.
Yeah.
We cover his show, which you could interpret as attention, but
If it was interpreted as attention, he would have brought us up and parade us around
probably
as monsters by now.
I think it would be a misinterpretation. What we do is we take his rhetoric, unpack it, laugh at it, point out why it's fucking stupid. And there is a version of that with all of the alt-right figures, Trump included, that can exist. It's just not what is most popular.
But that is exactly how I feel about it. And it's that double-sided, you know, like, hey, to Alex Jones's benefit is to elicit that reaction that we've talked about. To the Atlantic's benefit is to respond to that, because then they get more clicks.
Right.
Trump tweets out some bullshit. They cover that bullshit the way that they fail at doing, and they get more clicks.
It's pro wrestling.
And then because they all just bounce back and forth. Like, the one thing that infuriated me, like, I don't know what it is. I don't know why I still read The Atlantic. I think it's just out of pure hatred.
Fair.
Like, it's just like hate filled, like a hate read.
Okay.
But this one thing this guy wrote was like, it turns out children don't trust the mainstream media anymore. And there's no reason that I can think of why. And it's like, well, because you guys are a fucking failure.
Why do children need to trust a news?
I know!
You know who I trust?
Why are you asking them? They're fucking 12!
You know who I trusted as a kid? Linda fucking Ellerbe.
I know! Like, what are you guys all fucking doing? What's wrong with you?
Man, I love Linda
Ellerbe. Every aspect. And it's not that I want to, like, dip into this rhetoric, but, like, because now the martyrdom of the mainstream media, and I hate even using that fucking phrase because that's a goddamn pointless nonsense.
It's coded
but until
language.
Until the news media, until they're willing and capable of examining themselves and how it is that they too have enabled all of this shit to happen, how they too are at fault for whenever Trump says that they're the enemy of the American people.
They need to go in that
you
whale.
You need to fucking look at your goddamn selves and ask yourself, why did this come about? How did this guy come about? And, oh, yeah, guess what? You are fucking culpable, too.
Were we complicit?
And the fact that it doesn't happen, that it never happens, that they're just like, oh, now we're the victim. They're doing the same game that the fucking idiots did 10 years ago. It's infuriating to me. They have failed, and they don't even want to admit it. I'm furious.
No response.
Sorry. I don't know. We were going to wrap up the show, Dan. I'm sorry.
Yep.
You asked me if I had any.
Shouldn't have done that.
You should not have done that.
I mostly agree with the rant that came out, but I think I lost a couple of the points in the screaming.
Yeah. Well, Jordan.
I do agree that the media at large it does need to have a come to Jesus moment because they're not recognizing the game that's being played because the game has changed to a great degree. And I kept trying to interject.
I'm sorry for that.
But it's pro wrestling shit. It's the same thing with like the way wrestling works now, especially in the WWE, is that like who cares if it's good or bad if it gets a reaction. So like if you're a bad guy or you're a heel or you're a face, it doesn't matter unless you're getting a reaction. The worst thing is getting no reaction.
It's clicks.
You're going out there. You're the best wrestler in the world and no one is like interested at all.
Yeah.
You're dead in the water.
Yep.
And that's the way it is with the media. Like we've shifted into a place where like legitimately understanding pro wrestling, I think is going to be one of the most important things moving forward.
I really don't disagree.
Because it provides you with a little bit of a defense or at least internal defense. You know, you can understand like, oh, that's why they're doing that. He's being a shit heel. You know,
right.
Like, or Ben Shapiro challenging someone to a debate and then bailing on the debate when he pretends that they didn't reach whatever qualification he wanted. Oh, he's being the cowardly heel.
Right.
That's what he's doing. He's refusing to do the match until WrestleMania whatever. You know, like they're all playing by a weird wrestling playbook and it's not conducive to things going well. And when the media is trying to be like, we are just here to just
reporting the off.
What they end up doing is being tricked by heels over and over and over and over again.
You make a great point.
And at the same time, the faces end up looking fucking stupid because those are the people who are
constantly get tricked by the heels.
Exactly.
Yeah.
They're the people who are responding to the heels doing obviously evil stuff.
Yeah.
And then they look like fucking dicks. There's nothing to do other than be, I guess, the shitty fan who's watching it like we are.
No,
we're basically the jaded fan who's watching wrestling and being like, hey, look at this bullshit.
Well, so you just encapsulated it perfectly because I do think the modern fandom of, professional wrestling is just as much interested in the meta narrative as they are in the actual narrative.
Probably.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, like, probably.
I don't disagree, but I'm just saying that what I know is, as far as compared to when I watch wrestling, in the Attitude Era versus now.
Can I stop you just before you get into this? Cause I think you're going to embarrass yourself.
Sorry. I am going to.
I think it's because we're, like, I'm early 30s, you're late 20s. I think it's because there's
31.
Oh, you're 32. Okay.
Jesus
Sorry.
Christ, man.
Sorry.
And I don't like admitting that on air because I can play a 26, but you know what? Fine.
I thought you were 29 for a second. I don't know why. But there is a difference between, knowing people who like wrestling while we're in our 30s.
Fine.
And being children.
Fine.
So you're projecting from the past, like the understanding.
That's a great point. 30-year-old
people who liked wrestling probably liked it in the same way that people we know like wrestling now.
That's a great point.
We just have the projection of youthful minds.
I retract that entirely. Then here's my point without that bullshit personal context.
The Attitude Era was fun.
But without that bullshit personal context, it is that from the distance of recognizing the meta narrative in wrestling as being something that you can watch, so is recognizing the meta narrative of our current
propaganda.
Political news propaganda important. Like to recognize that even if the individual reporters at the New York Times are just trying to get to a deadline, and their boss said, you know, you got to write 1,000 words on blah.
Yeah.
Somebody at the New York Times recognizes the meta narrative. Somebody there knows.
I think they must.
Somebody there knows we have to respond to this because it's going to get us more traffic than if we don't respond to it.
Right.
There are people who recognize that, who are playing the game, and we're not. Like, you and I probably are, but like, most people are not playing that game. Most people are still stuck in the, like, wrestling is real. Like, I don't know what to tell.
Well, the stakes are different because back, you know.
You know, cause families are getting separated from their children.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. The stakes are a tiny bit different.
The metaphorical version we're talking about is like, I don't know, the Iron Sheik goes over.
Yeah.
He's the villain and he goes over.
Yeah. But that's
in the real world, it's like, hey, someone's getting bombed. Yemen, people are dying.
Yeah.
So like the Rohingya people are still being like slaughtered.
Hey,
so, like,
you know, but Aung San Suu Kyi definitely deserved that Nobel Peace Prize.
So,
for
like,
sure.
The stakes are different, but recognizing those similarities in rhetoric is incredibly important because you can't allow yourself to be baited.
Yeah.
In the way that people like Alex Jones bait. And what's so fucked up about it is that sometimes there are things that are legitimately like, he didn't mean for his phone to show that.
No, absolutely not.
But it still provides him an opportunity
to pretend like he meant for his phone to show that.
Or to turn it into a positive for him.
Yeah.
And you need to, people need to recognize, I don't want to just turn this into a large soapbox, but people need to recognize.
You know how I hate doing that.
Yeah. People need to recognize the instances of like, this is a viable thing to like, oh, hey, here's a thing to point out and things that aren't.
Yeah.
Like I've seen thousands, and some of them were tweeted at me, thousands of tweets about his pornographic intake,
right,
which I'm not interested in.
Right.
I've seen zero tweets about how he probably murdered a guy. You know what I'm saying?
Good point. That's a good fucking point.
I've seen zero tweets about that. I've seen zero tweets about anybody talking about the, a couple tweets from fans, but you know, like we did that episode about him and Anders Breivik being bosom buddies.
Yeah.
Basically.
Yeah.
I there's just the, you know, it's not, people aren't dealing with the important stuff.
They're, no,
we they're
get...
dealing with the stuff that is easily reclaimed into troll territory.
Yeah.
And you need, we all need to do better. We need to do better too, but everyone needs to do a lot better because we're closer to better.
Or
our instincts are more honed.
We're just more focused on trying. And it seems like everybody else is more focused on
clicks.
Yeah.
I mean, if we wanted clicks, we would actually promote whenever we put out an episode.
Dude,
which
man,
we don't.
What if we cheated?
What if we actually did what anyone does? And there have been episodes, I don't even tweet that there's a new episode. Like, I don't do shit.
We're not good at this.
Well, I'm ashamed that we do this. So.
That's the problem. Do you know how you understand the meta narrative? Shame over understanding it.
We record an episode. I put it out, and the next morning I'm like, God, I hope no one listens to that.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, I stand by it,
exactly.
But oh man.
Yeah.
Oh man, what if people listen to
it? Oh man, what if we didn't have shame? God damn, Dan, we might own this world.
Yeah. I'm starting to think about that though, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're not doing great.
Well, I started.
Every time I try and do something shameless, you try and stop me.
I think you should not be shameless. But I think that there's a lot of things in life where you get up in your head and you create demons and ghosts and fears where they don't exist. And I think some of that is a valuable. I don't know.
Anyways, do we have a website, Dan?
We do. It's knowledgefight.com.
No shit.
Yep.
How would you get there? Would you put it into your search engine?
Yeah, put it in your Alta Vista.
Yeah, okay. All right.
Ask Jeeves
whether or not you can knowledge fight.
No, don't ask Jeeves. Ask Bertie Wooster.
Oh, that's nice.
He won't have anything to say.
He has got nothing to say.
He'll tell you about a great time he had at the Drones Club with Cat's Meat Potter Purebright. Man, I love
it. Oh, I love it when you get into PG.
I love Woodhouse so much.
Oh, so good.
Man, the descriptions of the Drones Club. It sounds like so much fun. Everyone's throwing rolls at each other.
I know.
God damn it. They have a pool.
So many times I will go back and reread those and just be like,
You have not reread them.
Am I going to have to go back into the real world after this? Because this is a delight.
What's Jeeves' version of the Drones Club?
Do you know when the last time I reread them was?
You don't know shit.
6 years ago, Dan.
It's called the Junior Ganymede.
Sure. Yeah, that's something that you would absolutely remember off the top of your head if you reread it 6 years ago.
It's a club for gentlemen's gentlemen.
For this and more references to B.G. Woodhouse, you could not go to our Twitter.
And also, even in person, I won't tell you anything about P. Smith. I won't talk to you about, I won't talk to you about his other works.
No, that's a rule though.
Yeah, no.
Yeah.
It also might be pronounced just Smith. The P might be silent. I don't even know. Anyway, we're on Twitter. We're on Facebook.
We are on Facebook.
We have a group called Go Home and Tell Your Mother You're Brilliant.
It's where everybody is hanging out. We
posting
like
Ben Garrison cartoons.
Yeah.
A lot of fucking references to Daddy Shark. So many.
I say that like it's a bad thing.
No, I appreciate them all, but it's very jarring. Because I don't know this song. I don't have kids or anything, you know? Like, so it's fucking
weird.
Wait,
like, it's a real song, though?
Yeah, apparently.
But I genuinely thought it was something that he made up.
Oh, no, it's a song, but I staunchly refuse to click on any of the videos that people post. So I've never heard the actual song, but it's apparently...
I have only ever heard him sing it.
I can only guess based on the words that come up in like sort of closed captioning that it's supposed to be Daddy Shark do 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 do, I think. Mama Shark do 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 do. I think something along those lines, but it bop 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 is very
That's way better.
Yeah, it's much better.
Yeah.
Alex Jones, you have finally created something better than the original.
It's one of the rare times that the remake is better than the original.
I want to stress this one more time before we close. We were also on iTunes. Alex Jones, if you're listening, which I hope you are.
530.
No.
Oh.
Don't call me.
Neon Nip.
Please. Like, there's been a number of times that, like, especially in present day, he's gotten back to singing to country music. You know,
right.
There have been some things that indicate that maybe he's listening. If you can hear me, Alex, please work the Adjustment Bureau into your rhetoric somehow. It's the worst fucking movie that Philip K. Dick has ever been involved with based on him writing the short story it's involved in. But right. I would love for you to just talk about hats.
Just toss
Please.
It in there. Yeah.
Adjustment Bureau. It's only like 4 pages, Alex. You could read the whole thing. Please.
And Stephen King stole all that hat material and all of that shit. Don't even talk about Stephen King. You go right into...
Or even watch the movie. You got Matt Damon in there.
Not a good movie,
You got John Slattery.
Terrible. John Slattery's great, though.
He's got a great hat.
That's a man who looks great in a hat.
Anyway,
I think one of the most important things that we touched on, and that isn't really the focus of this episode.
No.
But, say what you will, Alex Jones almost killed a guy, or technically killed a guy.
Andy in Kansas, you're on the air. Thanks for holding.
Hello, Alex. I'm a first-time caller. I'm a huge fan. I love your work.
I love you.